I know you don't smoke weed. I know this. But I'm going to get you high today. Because it's Friday. You ain't got no job. And you ain't got shit to do.
Everybody's got a holiday. Some got Christmas and New Year's. But everybody's mine. I got 52 a year. Friday's my day.
Hey, what's going on out there with y'all today? Welcome to Freedom Friday on Let's Talk. Hey, this is the talk. It's time for the weekend. That's right. Let's make Friday your holiday. That's the beginning, huh? That's right. What a great day. What a great day. Ooh, Lord, have mercy. So what's going on out there with y'all? What is going on with y'all out there? How are y'all doing? Hope everybody's having a good day. It's a nice, cool 99 degrees here right now. I'm telling you, man. You heard me say a nice, cool day. Because that's what it is. It's a nice, cool 99 degrees. Because it's supposed to get a little warmer later on today. So, I don't know. The best thing to do is what? Stay inside. Hey, suck up some air conditioning. You know what I mean? That's what you do. That's what you do. But, you know, some of us do what we do. So we just dance and dance and dance and have a good time today. That's right. Hey, it's Friday. Why be serious on a Friday? Let's have some fun. You know what I mean? Let's just get down. Well, another week is coming gone. And what's going on now? I don't know. So how y'all doing out there? How's your day going? Hope everybody's day going good. Because it's Friday. That's right. The last work day of the week for most of us. So, you know, we're going to have us some fun today. Yeah. Get ready for that weekend. We go to the park and just chill out to the beach. Yeah, why not? Let's have some fun today. Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. Anyway, so what else going on with y'all out there? Y'all having a good day? Y'all workload is going good for you? All right. Let me quit playing. What's happening out there, y'all? This is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio, and it is Freedom Friday. That's right, and I'm your host, Mr. Talk. And yeah, we're going to have us a good time today. Why? Because it's Friday. Last work day of the week. You're looking forward to that 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock when you get off and you're ready to go and enjoy your weekend. That's all I can tell you, y'all. And you better enjoy it. If you know what I know, you better enjoy it. That's right. Hey, it is what it is, right? It is what it is. Let me get a little comfortable here so we can go on and make this thing happen today. All right. So, as always on Freedom Friday, we let the caller control the topic of what we talk about for the day. I usually start off with something, but, you know, then it usually comes back to the caller. Let the caller decide what we're going to, the topics we're talking about and how far and deep into it we will get. Of course, sometimes, you know, I have to step in and steer it another way because sometimes on Fridays we get a little wild. And I have to admit, we get a little wild. And I got to admit, I let it go that way for the most part because it's Friday. You know what? Fridays should really be days where you just start. If you're not happy throughout the week, at least on Friday you can be a little happy, right? Because think about it. The last work day of the week for most of us. Right? Mm-hmm. You had a great weekend plan. That's right. And what else? And you just don't have anything else better to do. I guess I shouldn't say it like that. But anyway, y'all know what I mean. It's Friday, man. Everybody should be having fun on Friday. That's right. Oh, man, I got a little disaster going on right now. Let me see if I can get this thing fixed right. All right, I think I got it now. So anyway, you know, we're going to chit-chat a little bit. We're going to laugh a little bit, and we're going to have fun. Oh, yeah, and don't forget, it's payday for some of y'all, so I know some of y'all are happy. I know a lot of y'all happy out there. Don't go and spend it all in one place. Hey, put some away for those rainy days that may be coming up, right? Right. It's all good, and you know what? We will be all right. All right, well. With all that chit-chat out the way, let's go on and get on with the get on. Here it is. It's Freedom Friday, and of course the house rules are act as an adult, okay? Act as an adult. Don't talk over each other. Don't be calling each other out your name. Respect everyone else's time to speak, and make your comments short and sweet as possible. And then we can have an outstanding show. That's right. And let's have some fun, man. That's right. Let's have some fun. Now, I see your hand up there, bro. I'll get to you in a minute. I know you've been gone for a couple of days, so you're probably chomping at the bit. But it's okay. We're going to do it. Yeah, man. And my grain, welcome to the show. I see y'all in the chat room also. Thank you for joining us today. Now, before we go ahead and I think I just told you the house rules. Be act as an adult. Don't attack anyone on the show. You know, don't talk over anybody. Keep your responses short. Don't attack anyone. I have to keep saying that because some people forget that. All right? And respect everyone else's time to speak. Because we like to hear everyone. We really do. We love to hear everyone's opinion because that's the show. You know, we love to hear that. That way everybody gets a chance to comment and, you know, chime in or chime out. But some of y'all don't know how to do that, so that's where I come in at. So if any of y'all decide y'all want to call in, 347-838-8622, but you don't want to act accordingly, no problem. I can handle that. I got something special for you, okay? All right. Now, I see. All right, here we go. Now that we have that out of the way, let's get on with the quote of the day and the song of the day. And y'all know on Fridays, the song of the day is never anything depressing or slow. Y'all know this because it's Friday, man. You don't want to, you know, you're supposed to be have that little in your step. You understand what I'm saying? But before we get to the song of the day, let's get to the quote of the day. because I like this quote right here. I think it's a really good quote. And it says, don't choose the one who is beautiful to the world. Choose the one who makes your world beautiful. That, boy, I tell you, that's a quote right there for you. And some of y'all out there need to hear that. You really do. Because some of y'all, hey, you're trying to worry about being with that good-looking person and that the world think is fine and good-looking and you can have that trophy on your arm and they're making your world a nightmare. That's right. Mm-mm-mm. So, you know what? I'm going to say it again. Don't choose the one who is beautiful to the world. Choose the one who makes your world beautiful. Oh, man, that's a good one there. That's a good one. You know what? I'll tell you, it's right there already, and they in the chat room clowning already. Dingo Migraine said, the devil went down to Georgia looking for a soul to steal, didn't realize Ted Turner didn't have one. Boy, have we started off the day right? What? All right. Now, let's get on with the get on. Here it is, y'all. What y'all been waiting on? You get ready to bob your head, stomp, you know, pat your foot a little bit. Hey, some of you can get up and do, you know, a couple of dances if you want to. But anyway, here it is, the song of the day, y'all. Enjoy.
I wanna put on my, 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 my pocket shoes.
All right, y'all. Hey, that was Boogie Shoes by KC and the Sunshine Band. That I'm talking about, man. That's the way you start off a Friday. Yeah, I know some of y'all act like y'all don't know what that song. Yeah, I never heard that song. Y'all done heard it before, and you was bopping your head a little bit and carrying on. I know you were. It's okay, though. You can act like you weren't. I saw you. I seen it in you. That's right. I said I seen it in you. But you know what? It's all good. All right, y'all. This is Freedom Friday on Let's Talk. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. If you want to join the conversation today, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com, or stop by the Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. Anyway, I get the message, that's for sure. All right, so, being Friday, and the caller controls the topic, there's some things I'm sure we're going to talk about today that needs to be talked about, because Ed in the chat room is just getting it out there. www.hiddengospel.com, early church origin. I'm telling you, if you haven't read that, you can read it, man. I'm telling you, it's pretty interesting, that's for sure. But before I open the phone lines, I want to read something to y'all, that a little article that I found, and I think this is so true, so true. And once I read it, you know, I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines, and you can comment on it or comment, you know, talk about whatever topic you want to talk about. It's Friday. You control it. But I just want to read this one thing right here, okay? And I'm telling you, this is very, very, very interesting. And here it is. Trayvon Martin's friend, Rachel Gentile, was mocked and ridiculed yesterday via social media. And from what I could see, 99% of it was from her own race. She's only 19 years old, under more pressure than any of us could imagine, and was involved in a tragic situation of being the last to talk to her friend, who was killed shortly thereafter. Instead of embracing her, we make jokes about her weight, her public speaking, and of all things, her color. We can't hold white people to a higher standard of respecting black people than we hold ourselves. We can't punish them for hating us and holding us back while leading by example and showing them how it's done. There's by far more black people that hate black people than there are white people who hate black people. We show it by the self-hatred we project on those like Rachel Gentile in times like these. But this isn't new. We did the same with Gabby Douglas when her ponytail was undone, as she won gold medals, remember? I'm not saying I ever excuse the acts of racist people versus blacks. I just want us all to be aware that we're daring them to do the very thing we are demonstrating. The worst thing about all this is, those that need to hear this message probably won't. And that was a little thing done by Derek Jackson. You know, and this was, you know, once I read it, I sat there for a moment because I said, you know what, that is so true. That is so true. You know, even on this show yesterday, Joe tried to get on about our weight. You know, I mean, really. And we've been saying this for a long time on the show. You know, us peoples, dark colored peoples, and our self-hatred. You know, we set the example for the way we want other people to treat us. And that's the truth. No, there's no need to deny it, because it is the truth. They see how we treat others and say, well, hell, why not? We can do the same thing. Well, I'm just putting it out there. But I thought that was a very interesting article indeed. All right, now. With that being said, here we are. We've been open the phone lines. We got N.O. Low on the line. He ain't been here in a couple of days, so I guess he got the message about being fine. So here we go. Hello, Mr. Low. Where you been? What's going on?
What's happening, bro? How you doing, bro?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Hey, I'm cooling. Hey, bro. Hey, you're absolutely right, man. You're absolutely right. I read something yesterday myself in reference to something about that girl. What that girl looked like, or her grandma, or any of that, had nothing to do with what she was up there to put her little two cents in on. It had nothing. And the worst part is about it, you're right. Them crabs was snatching her down in that bucket just as fast as they could. You know, I won't even lie to you, man. Sometimes for us to be the way we are towards each other, and I hate to say this, but sometimes I hate to consider myself to be a black man. I really do. And it's because of that inbred slavery, that slave mentality that we have. We are nothing if we don't have anything. If we don't have a couple of crumbs in our cupboard, and we don't have a couple of pennies tucked back, we consider to be absolutely nothing by ourselves and by our peers, and that's crazy. Just the other day at work, I had a white guy told me, "Yeah, I'm about to file bankruptcy again." You know, those people don't mind sharing information that's going to be helpful, but we got to hold our heads up as high as we can to let everybody know that we don't have any problems. You know, everything we got going on is A-okay, perfect. You know, this girl, not to mention listening to a little bit of it and the way this prosecutor was talking, I mean, this the defense attorney, excuse me, was talking to her, you know, and you know, I didn't appreciate a lot of that, but you're absolutely right. This girl was on a stage much larger than LeBron James was a couple of weeks ago. So, hey, I would have butterflies in my stomach also. And, you know, I can't say what would or wouldn't happen. But, damn it, regardless to how people felt about how she looked, her weight, none of that shit meant a damn thing. You know, and that really pissed me off, bro. And the worst part about it came from us.
That's right. It came from us. You know, that you are absolutely correct. And why? Why? You know, and that's one thing about the N-word, you know. How can we tell them not to use it when we use it on a daily basis?
We embrace.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but we get upset when they use it, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
you know.
I don't understand that for the life of me, man. That's double ignorance. It's okay for me to say it, but I mean, okay, it's one thing if you and I are relatives, and you know, I pick on you a little bit because I'm your relative, but that don't mean anybody else got the right. That's one thing. But if it was something stupid to the point of saying the N-word, I'm not gonna say that to you because I don't want anybody else saying it to you.
Right.
I'm not gonna disrespect you like that, and so I don't know why we've taken that word and supposedly embraced it and turned it into something meaningful. Oh, well, it means never ignorant, getting goals accomplished. No, it don't. It means nigger. It means ignorant. That's exactly what it's for. You let a rapper say something stupid and we'll jump on that. I don't know. Our children, I don't know what's to become of them. It looks like the worst, though. You know, and hey, I'm not the most spiritual person in the world. He working with me, the Most High is working with me. But according to the scripture, it don't look good. You know, looking at a video the other day, they had given reasons why we, and I say we, and you know who I'm talking about, we didn't celebrate birthdays. They had children out there 7, 8, 6 years old hunching on each other at a birthday party. You know, people camp filming this stuff. Grown people got kids on each other.
Wow.
You know, yeah, hunching each other. They laughing. A grown woman squat down and let this little boy hunch on her. He probably was 2 or 3 years old.
Wow.
And you wonder why they wind up on a fucking stripping pole and things of that nature.
And you're right. You're right. Why they grow up to disrespect, you know, the black queens and, you know,
right.
the men. That is just the
right.
crazy. That is crazy.
Right.
But we all up in arms about Paula Deen's use of the word,
right?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely.
Just makes no
Absolutely.
Sense.
Absolutely. You know, that kind of goes into, and Vernon said something about it yesterday. I can't even quote it right now, but something of you worried about the splinter I have in my eye and the plank you got in yours, something to that effect, you know.
Okay, I like
yeah,
that.
something to that effect. You worried about the little splinter I got going, and you got a plank in your eye, you know.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? Look, and here's the thing that they fail to realize. That girl can speak three different languages. You know what I mean? Imagine that. But, you know, they talking about it, but she can speak three different languages. And
uh-huh.
English was not her primary language. So, again, you know, we not celebrating the accomplishments. We celebrating the failure, because that's
right.
all we like to see in ourselves, which is,
right.
you know, just, ooh. Irritating
judging.
And frustrating, just as you say, ignorant.
Yeah.
It really is.
Judging the book by the cover.
That's
what,
it.
I can't wrap my hands around it. What does how this woman looked have anything to do with her on the phone listening to this boy about to get killed? What do that's apples and potatoes.
Well, you know, come on, Lord, you know good and well. It's what we've been taught by the media to look at.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know,
we're
taught, you know, I'm not going to say taught. We're conditioned to check
yeah.
out the outside and forget all about
yeah.
what's inside. That's
yeah.
what it is.
Yep. That's true. That's true. I was looking at a video a few minutes ago, and it had a white woman and her and a little kid walking, and I'm assuming that it was in Europe somewhere. It looked like London.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a man that was of Arab descent walking and had a bag and had to throw the bag over his shoulder. And the white woman was walking far enough away from him that she noticed him. And she looked and saw the police start running. And she thought, and then, you know, she got that old crazy look on her face, like, what did he do now? Come to find out, the cops ran past him and caught the white boy in front of him.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Perception.
That's
perception
it.
Perception and
Hold
stupid
on.
Stereotypes.
Yeah, you're right. Hold on. Let's bring Renee in. She has her hand up. Hello, Renee. How you doing? I guess we caught her sleeping this time.
Must have.
Yeah.
Might be in the bathroom, you know.
Oh, no. I had it on mute because I didn't want y'all to hear all the noise back there, see?
Yeah.
Oh,
how
okay.
y'all doing?
We swear she flushed that commode and she wanted to make sure we didn't hear that water. That's all that was.
Man, I'm at work. Why you always got half of me?
Oh, my goodness.
Mr. Talk, before I forget, I want to say this because I didn't get to say it the other day. Now, as far as meeting a lady with children already,
uh-huh.
if she had too many puppies, I wasn't interested in hanging around. Mm-mm. No, a woman with a bunch of puppies? Uh-uh, no thank you.
What?
What
do they have
she's on one
to
anyway, though? Why can't you use a vernacular? Why can't you just call them children? I think I'm being real puppies or something. Come on now, man.
Well, hey, it's just the terminology I've always phrased, and, you know, it was what it was. We talking about me, what, 15 years ago? Yeah, 15 years ago, yeah, hey, that's the way it was.
Well, it makes you think she'd want to be around you anyway, if she had kids anyway.
Well,
you know,
darling, I'll tell you like this, you have never seen me, you don't know me. My first cousin, Jack know me, Jack seen my first cousin calls in here all the time. Anything that I tell you that I've done before, he will give
mm-hmm.
a yay or a nay. And as far as a woman goes, I have never had a problem getting any or the best. So that's not
okay.
even an issue. so it wasn't an issue of, well, she may not even want to. I'm not, that wasn't even a concern.
Well,
but I make you hate me, then I make you love me.
Yeah. You just have a negative way of dealing with women sometimes. It's really frustrating.
Well,
and
you don't know me,
but it's
gone.
On it.
Well, no, we get on with it because as soon as she come in, okay, Mr. Jack says, okay, let me bring Miss Lady. As soon as Miss Lady, go say, you know, I'm not talking. You don't do that. That's why we get in. You don't bring a combative attitude in with you. You come in, you be cordial.
We made that clear yesterday.
Yeah, come in and speak first.
We were trying to get that point across to her. She didn't quite understand that. So, I agree with you there.
I'm just lovable as a teddy bear, but damn, you come in.
No. maybe a porcupine, but not a teddy bear.
Mm-hmm.
Not the porcupine.
Speak for yourself.
Oh, wow.
Speak for yourself.
I don't see teddy bear. I see sharp edges there, dude.
Hey, girl, my lady posted my bedroom name on her Facebook page the other day.
I'm not a girl. I'm a grown woman.
Well, hey, you know, you ain't got to be so formal. Get out of here with that. I'm from New Orleans,
cool.
So, you know, this is how we talk.
That ain't cool, dude. We had that conversation yesterday. Sorry, you weren't here. About the difference between calling a lady or a woman or a girl, or you wouldn't want me walking around here calling you a boy, would you?
Depend on how you said it.
It just like you, just depend on how you said it. I'm a woman. I'm a grown woman.
I didn't say it in a derogatory manner. Hell, you know how old you are. You know how many children you got. So we both. Know
I do. I have a bunch of kids.
So
I like
you
too. I'm married though.
Yeah, me too.
I got some kids. I like kids.
I got one. Yeah. Bunch of puppies.
Kids are a good thing, not a bad thing. Why are we arguing? What you arguing with me for?
Ain't nobody arguing.
I'm agreeing with you.
See, that's what you do right there. You did that to Joe the other day. I caught it. You bring your little spin or something. Wait a minute. Why are you? I'm agreeing with you. That's what you do, devil.
I just keep Joe off kilter. He don't know how to handle me. That's all it is. That's all it is. Joe, I know you're out there right now. I know you are. I can hear you like you always say to me. But yeah, I just keep Joe a little off kilter. He don't know how to handle me yet. He'll get there.
He'll get there. All right. Well, we shall see.
And
he hasn't shown up yet, but I'm sure he will.
I'm sure he will too. I also believe that a felon should get another opportunity at life, man. I mean, once you went there and you cashed in your little debt, then hey, you done. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Is
there a certain crime that you wouldn't say they should get another chance?
Well, I said like this. If you take a life, and I mean like you do some Jeffrey Dahmer type things or whatever, you're gonna think about that for the rest of your life. We're not gonna kill you. White people will take these. Well, I want them to go ahead and to kill me. I want them to go ahead and give me the death penalty. White people want that because they don't want to sit. They don't want to sit on their ass and have to live the rest of their life with that, because you know they couldn't handle it. But if you out there and you selling drugs, okay, that's bad. But hey, all right. But or whatever, you know, you got caught up in a robbery, in whatever. Hey, if you go to prison, you do your time and everything. Then hey, you've done your time for that crime. So yes, let these people come back in society. One thing you cannot do is send them to prison and let them just sit on their asses, because when they come out, they won't have any more skills than they had when they came in. They actually have less because they won't be using them. You know, and you know, from the way I see it, also, a lot of people that wind up with felonies, they didn't have the buddy system working for them. Like, say, you have a senator, a congressman. You know they all have emblems on the back of their vehicles to that denotes who's in the vehicle. You know, like little tag or something, a little emblem on the back of their car that said, you know, this is the official vehicle for a senator or whatever, congressman. And those people, a cop pulls up behind them, they're doing 1,000 miles an hour. Cop see that thing, he's going to keep on going and let them go on their business, you know. Or the guy in the small town or the relatively decent-sized city who has a family member that's known and well-known and very powerful in that town might have got caught up with drugs, might have got caught up with drinking and driving, whatever. Okay, well, hey, all right, well, Washington, hey, don't call this one in. Just we're going to call his parents and get this out of the way. You know, we've always done this before, so, hey, don't harm no foul. And, you know, that's how they'll backdoor that in. But right. Let that be old, you know, old Jackson just, you know, minding his business and just trying to make it or whatever, and he had a drink or two more than he was supposed to have. They're going to cuff him and stuff him.
Cuffing and stuffing, that's what I'm talking
Absolutely.
About. Oh, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I tell you, Renee, you done started something in the chat room. I tell you, my grain say, if you want to label yourself, go ahead. I choose not to. Boy equals male. I have a penis, therefore I'm a boy. Renee doesn't have a penis, therefore she's a girl.
Absolutely.
Well, I think it depends on the connotation that you're putting it in. Like, you know, like before, you know, I don't like to be called a girl. I didn't call you the
ever so racist gal, so it's good.
No, you didn't say gal, which would really put me on fire. But you know, I just prefer to be called a woman. I'm a woman. I've earned my stripes as a woman, and I want to be considered a woman. A girl to me is a young thing, really young. No, nothing
behind. Now wait a minute. Now, just the other day,
and
I'm a grandma, and I'm young, and I'm a grandma.
I am a grandma.
I'm young.
I'm not trying to be a girl. I'm not trying to be a girl. I'm a woman. There's a difference. I have a little knowledge behind me that puts me in a different
position.
We
know what you are.
I have to agree with Renee. There's a difference.
You will.
Hush up. Oh, of course I will. Of course this, damn it. I don't know why he'd be playing with me. That's right. Renee, I'm with you. There is a difference. I don't care what they say. That's right.
What I'm saying is there's a difference. A woman, I have a little years behind me as far as knowledge and the things that I know. And
right.
A girl is someone who's a young teenager or a young adolescent that doesn't have much knowledge behind them. And it's just,
right.
just feeling her way through the world. I've been there. I've seen a lot. I've done a lot. And so I look at it from a different perspective. And I look at it as a negative thing when you call me a girl when I'm almost 50. Or, you know, I look at it from different, okay? That's just what I'm saying.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You almost 50.
I'm almost 50.
Well, I thought you was about to say something else when you said, I'm almost 50. Well, and when you said, well, I thought you were about to say, well, I am actually 50 or, you know, I thought you were going to throw that in there, but you wouldn't disclose that.
Why should I?
I don't know. I mean, why not?
Why should I?
Yeah, why not? Yeah. You shame of your age?
What?
You shame of the years you've been blessed with? Where then?
No.
I mean, you trying to hit on me? Everybody done hit on you? You trying to hit on me?
I really am not trying to hit on you.
There you go. Because
really?
I would hate to disappoint you by turning you away.
Really? Look, bro, like you just said to me, you ain't seen me yet. You don't know if you would turn me away or not.
Well, you're actually right.
I might blow your mind.
You're actually right. I don't know. And the reason why I say that, because, you know, I told my cousin. Now, all things being fair and equal, lady, she's a feisty old coon.
Ah. You call her old coon?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, she's a feisty old coon, yeah. See, what you have to do with her is, like a wild horse, you got to put a bit in her mouth and tame her. Yeah.
Okay. That's a hell of an analogy, but okay.
Hey, Renee, she's more laid back, more subtle, more gentle. You know, but.
Oh,
lady,
okay. So,
how
would you tame Renee?
I let Renee tame herself.
Oh.
Hey, you put all you got to do is put some feed in your hand, she'll walk up to you.
I don't think that would be the thing that would be happening. I don't think that would be happening at all. Because I'm untamable, man. Nobody can tame me. If that was the case, my husband would have been a long time ago. Please.
You've been married 20-some years. You already
changed. I'm not changed.
Okay.
You get that already. I'm on the radio with you, talking to you. You see I'm not changed. I got my own opinions. I got my own mind. I got my own thoughts. I do my own thing. Please,
okay.
Man.
Yeah.
You ain't changed my body.
Okay.
Whatever.
Oh, okay. Okay. All this
you
sounds
need to
good.
Be tame.
Fine.
You need to be tame. You need to have some woman tame you.
You about
and
right.
And you curtail your tongue.
You about
you
right.
You insult people for no reason.
Hmm?
It's no reason to insult people. No.
Insult?
That's immaturity. That shows immaturity.
Well, you don't know me. How am I insulting people? What are you talking about?
Just how you come across. We're talking about women and how you talk to women.
That's
you know,
the thing about it.
You know, women are delicate flowers that you have to handle them.
You don't.
You get whatever you want if you say the right things and you do the right things.
You can go with
that. But you come at them with the negative connotations and you come at them very negatively and harshly, you won't tame them. And that's why you get into such complications with real women because you don't know how to handle it. You can't handle a woman. She's threatening to you.
I can sit here and listen to you repeat yourself, or you can go ahead and listen to what I got to say. No woman has ever intimidated me, for one. Mm-hmm. Two, no woman. Two, I've always liked older hens such as yourself. You know, if I was in my 20s, I'd like a hen in her 30s or 40s. Been there, done it, enjoyed all. Yeah, and it was great. Matter of fact, that's how I started out with women in their 40s, and I was only 19, 20. Yeah. It was great.
You sure didn't learn. You didn't take good notes.
That's where you
did not take good notes.
I kept who I wanted to keep, Renee. That's what it was.
Mm-mm, you didn't take good notes, bro. You didn't take good notes.
I tell you what.
Because you just called me again.
If you ask my wife, she got the best thing going.
Because
her husband takes damn good care of her.
Belongs to her.
Yeah, my baby loves me.
Somebody did a good thing taking you off the market. That was a good thing.
Yeah, you're right.
That was awesome.
You're right. Because I don't know. I might have ran into you in the hairdresser.
Oh, no.
I might have come in to get my eyebrows or something.
Mm-hmm.
You start talking.
No, it's not going
to
work.
No, bro. You didn't say get your eyebrows arched.
You know I ain't going to do that, but it sounded good saying it.
No, it didn't.
Wait a minute. Now you were just talking about how you got yours done in Florida.
I don't have them arched. I have them trimmed. It's a difference.
Ain't no
bullshit. It's a difference.
But you know what's funny? Let me tell y'all what's funny right now. Guess what I'm doing at this particular moment. That's exactly what I'm doing.
To a man?
No.
Oh, okay.
Woman.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Does she look like a man?
No.
Wow.
Talking about my
clients. Look, y'all on a whole different level today. I guess it is Friday, huh?
I asked you to help us out.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. All right.
Let's get to the real conversation at hand.
Okay.
I'm going to have to go on mute.
Okay, go on mute then. Go ahead, Renee.
All right.
Oh, my Lord. Talk about the trial. I was watching that today. I was watching the Trayvon Martin trial this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about the young lady that testified yesterday, and they were blogging about her. And, you know, I have to say, you know, she's a little different. But she wrote a letter to Trayvon's parents. Well, she didn't write a letter. She had someone write a letter to his parents because she can't write in cursive or read cursive or understand cursive.
Mm-hmm.
So my question to you guys is, you know, should we go back to the old way of teaching, making sure kids learn cursive handwriting and learn to read and write cursive, or is it okay that they print and text everything?
Well, you know, my stance is, yes, we need to go back to the old way of teaching, period, or whether it was her or anybody else, because it is a known fact that our education system, especially for us, sucks. It's broken. It's been broke for years. You know, and most kids today, they don't, when they type a text, they don't do that in complete sentences. They use, you know, hyphenated words or little slang words, and, you know, they cut them off. And to them, that is English. That is standard for them.
Sure.
So, yes, we need to go back and reiterate the importance of knowing how to read and write, among other things.
And
we really do.
And comprehend.
And comprehend.
Yeah.
And, you know, she speaks Ebonics, and
mm-hmm.
she doesn't speak correct English. So should
well,
we
you
let
know,
that
she,
be a language now?
Well, see, here's what it is. Well, you know, it's been a thing about Ebonics for years. You know, it was a big thing at one time. It died down. But I guess this is going to bring the topic back up again. But here's the thing. The girl at home speaks Creole. Okay.
Right.
That's a whole different type of dialect, period.
Right.
You know, and she's from Ireland, I think. Number two, she speaks Spanish as a second language. So English is really her third language. So, you know, what she's probably learning is not proper English from the beginning anyway. But I don't think people are taking that into consideration. What they're going by is what they see her doing on the stand. You know, and of course, you know, she's so illiterate and she's an embarrassment. Well, okay, I think she was just being real. She was telling it like it happened. You know, we're just so highfalutin and we so perfect, you know, we can ridicule anybody else for making a mistake. She's from Haiti. Yeah, she's from Haiti.
Right.
One thing that I'm sorry, but I gotta say one thing I didn't like that I heard was you know you're listening to the defense attorney and the tone he had in his voice when he was talking to her. I mean, of course she was gonna get defensive, you know, just the tone he had in his voice, and he asked her a question. And she gave the answer. He was like, "You don't know that," you know. Instinctively, someone, you know, that's quick on their feet would have said, "Well." And you don't know that I'm not telling the truth either, you know, but being that she's young like that, I mean, he just basically talked to her how he wanted to with no respect. And I saw that to me as unprofessionalism on his end, you know. I know he's trying to get that boy off, but, hey, that's not going to be the way to do it.
Well, you know, I think he was trying to rattle her more than anything because number one, he had he frustrated her because they had her on there for so up in the stand on the stand for so dang on long, which was, you know, abnormal number one. But I think she handled it pretty well because a couple of times she went back at him. Now she just wasn't letting him take. I mean, he asked her something, and she just told him that's retarded. You know, hey, she's just speaking the way she normally speak. You know, I think that adds a little credibility exactly to what she was saying. Yeah, you know, in some instances. Her story changed a little bit, but you're talking about a 19-year-old trying to remember something from, what, last year sometime? I mean, hell, I barely can remember what happened to me 2 days ago. So, you know, it's just one of those situations that that's what they get paid to do. Put it that way. That's just what they get paid to do. Now, that's mine. But, yeah, as far as a country, though, yes, we do need to go back to emphasizing how to read and write. In cursive and, you know, print. And that's what I truly believe.
Well, that's
okay.
What I think, too. I think that, too. I think that would be the best thing for us to get back into teaching our kids the proper way of writing and reading and all of those things. So, you know, I think Ebonics is just a waste of time. I think we can do better with teaching us how to speak correct English, and we'll go a lot farther in the end.
You know what? And I think the use of Ebonics was just another one of those great excuses we came up with for not, you know, being able to actually use the correct English or what have you. you know, correct grammar. That's what I'm saying. So we, since we couldn't do it, someone say, well, that's just Ebonics, you know. Oh, yeah, let's use that. That's a great word, Ebonics. You know, half of them know what it means. They don't know, but, you know, they're going to use it anyway. But hold on, let me bring Knowledge in. Good afternoon, Mr. Knowledge. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, Mr. Talk, and good afternoon to all your distinguished panel members, as always. It's a pleasure to be with all of you.
Thank you.
All right. Well,
how
thank
are you
sir.
Today?
I'm doing well, and in regards to the young lady that was on the stand, the problem that I have with specifically black folks, especially when the light of the media shines on us, is that we have a tendency to be harder on each other than anybody else. We're going to talk about the way that we talk. We're going to talk about the way that we look. We're going to talk about the way that we act instead of focusing on the substance of what we're actually saying. Now, granted, a lot of black people play into that because as black people, we have a tendency to be very, what I like to call theatrical. You know, once the lights and the cameras and the action goes on, I mean, perfect examples of that are Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, Alan Keyes. The list is long and sometimes not very distinguished. But in reality, as it relates to the trial, you know, lawyers have an innate ability to recognize weakness. And anytime they see a weakness, they're like sharks in the water that can sense that there's blood around. So it was, to me, I don't fault the defense for what they did, because that's what lawyers do. What I want to see is the prosecution call back the female police officer that processed all the evidence and return the favor, because obviously the police work was very shoddy. When she was being examined and cross-examined, it was like they handled her with kid gloves. They just wanted her to identify different items. She was never questioned in regards to, okay, in this situation, shouldn't you have done this? In this situation, shouldn't you have done that? When we're hearing the testimony of George Zimmerman saying his head is banged on the concrete, when you look at the concrete, what did you see? And why wasn't there any evidence there, even though it was raining? Did you check the border of the concrete and the grass? You see where I'm going with this?
Yes, I do.
So the prosecution, the onus is on it, because really what's going to happen in this case is that if you look solely based on the evidence, you're not going to get six people to agree on what really happened, because what they're being forced to do is reconstruct the whole incident. Everybody's getting caught up in the fight. Well, common sense tells us when he got shot, there was no gun residue, and from forensic analysis, there's no DNA of his that's on the gun. Right. So that implies right then and there, he was shot at a distance. So common sense tells me that even if they got into an altercation, if they got into a scuffle, if they got into a fight, however you want to call it, at some point, both men came to their feet and were separated, at which point, and I saw that the trial today when I looked at when they were showing Zimmerman's wounds. Some people can't take getting an ass whooping. And I'm going to tell you, Zimmerman is one of those type of people. Now, it looks like, from the pictures that I saw, it looks like Zimmerman got handled. And at that point, Zimmerman had his mind made up. Oh, no, okay, I can't fight you, but guess what? I got something else for you. And then that was the end of that. Now, they say the body was face down. and then they turn the body over, so then there's the argument of Trayvon being on top of him. Well, logic tells me if we're fighting and you're on top of me and I pull out a gun, basically I'm shooting you at point-blank range.
Right.
So there's going to be some gunpowder residue, and like Ron said on Steele's show, there's going to be gunpowder residue, and it's almost like a tattoo. It gets imprinted on you. So that's not something that can even be wiped off.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no trace of that. So there had to be some distance between them. So just to bring it full circle, I just think that, you know, the young lady was, she didn't ask to be up there. Of course, once she started wavering and they saw that opening of where, well, they ask you this, the prosecution asks, everybody's taking notes, then they come back and ask the same thing. And if you're not consistent, at that point, right then and there, all bets are off. They're going in for the kill, and that's what they did. And the prosecution has to return the favor. That's what they have to do. Because they're not going to convict this guy based on the evidence. It's just not going to happen.
All right. Hold on. Let me bring Goofy in. He's been waiting patiently. All right, Mr. Goofy, what's going on, man?
I'm working on something entertaining for my audience. Knowledge, how you doing, Knowledge?
I'm doing good, Goofy. What's up with my yay area partner?
Hey, Knowledge, you ready to put on some wrestling skivvies and wrestle on Saturday?
Dude, two knee surgeries, torn Achilles, bad back. I'm sorry. One smack to the neck. One smack to the neck. I'm done. Now you got fans booing. It would never work.
Well, here at Blog Talk Radio, Goofy Bone is going to make you a virtual wrestler on Saturday. So
okay.
If you get a chance to hear my show, I even teamed up Perry with Mountain Man Joe. They're going to be in tag team competition against some members of my staff. And Mr. Talk's going to be there, and he's going to go against one of his arch rivals. And,
okay, that's good.
It's going to be a little fun entertainment spectacular.
I can do that one on Blog Talk Radio. Yeah, I'm going to be a cross between Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock. I'm going to be a hybrid of those two.
All right.
Oh, shit. But let's get back to what's going on here. I just wanted to inform you guys about that. That's why I haven't been on for a while. But, you know, nobody ever asks this question. Who fights with a gun? Has anyone ever asked that question? Seriously.
He wasn't even supposed to have a gun.
I mean, let's think. You fight, you get your ass whooped. The first thing you always think, I want to kill that motherfucker. You know what I mean? I haven't got my ass kicked since I think I was 8 or something, but I mean, I wanted to kill that motherfucker who jumped on my back and hit me from behind. I wanted to do that shit. And I'm telling you, what I think is what mostly everyone thinks. Zimmerman got his ass handled. And he couldn't take the fact that, hey, I'm a loser in life. I could have been a cop, but I couldn't even make that. You know, I barely make what I make.
But
and here's some pump. What were we saying?
In his attorneys, in their opening statement, the defense team said that he was getting his butt beat. I mean, they put that out there. You know, I don't know whether they wanted to defuse it or whatever, but his own defense team said that. So... yes, he was getting handled.
So let's think fourth dimensionally. You're an older guy getting your ass handled by a young kid. Wouldn't you feel embarrassed? Wouldn't you feel like, fuck this motherfucker? And if you happen to have a gun, that's why Trayvon died. Seriously. Mm. And the thing about it is that Zimmerman, if he was supposed to be some big fucking hot shot, he would at least have pulled the gun out and tell Trayvon to stand down or wait here until the cops come or some shit like that. But I'm telling you, this man, he wanted to prove to the world that he was somebody. Because if you look at this man's background, this man's a fucking loser.
Yep.
He couldn't make it at anything.
Yep.
And when you see people that can't make it at anything, they will do anything to make it somewhere. And I mean do anything. Those people are the worst people to ever see because they'll go beyond just to prove a point. And I've always said, ever since Trayvon, got killed, that guy, he should have been arrested right there and then. He should have been taken to jail. But nah, they took their sweet-ass time just playing a little media fucking game.
Yeah.
And it's sad how the media and, the law plays around with justice. You know, these people, if they really cared, they would have did something. Like like Trayvon transsexual girl looking like. What she told them, if the cops were serious, they would have got on Trayvon's phone and redialed the last person he was on the phone with.
Yeah.
Every cop show, even the last 48, does that shit. They always
and Goofy.
You know what? That's making too much sense.
What was so crazy was that they were asking her, well, if you were the last person that talked to him, why didn't you call the police? Well, she didn't know she was the last person.
Exactly.
How was she supposed to know that?
Like Trayvon said, hey, I'm going to die right now. Call the police. You know, the phone hung up. She don't know. She would have been like, call me back.
Yeah. And like she said, I thought it was a fight. I didn't think nothing of it. Fight's
right.
Over. I'll talk to him later.
Right. And the phone had been dropping calls all day anyway, so she probably figured it was another drop call.
But going back to what Goofy was saying about how the police handled it, see, they've corrupted the evidence to a point of where that just blurs the whole picture for the jury. And that's what I was saying earlier. Just if you look at it just based on the evidence, you're not going to get six people to agree on this. I'm sorry. If it's just the evidence you're looking at, because nobody saw anything. So you got one guy who, I think one guy came forward today and said that he saw Trayvon on top of him doing this martial arts stuff, this MMA stuff, right?
Okay.
Right. However you want to define that, to me, all that means is that he was just on top of him, just laying blows on him, okay? And then at that point, now we don't even, at that point it's over, we don't even know what happened. So now the jury has to look at the evidence, see how he fell, how far he's from the concrete. You're not going to get six people to agree logically on the sequence of events. It's not.
And the funny thing is they got six women who probably are so confused about what the fuck's going on because three of my women that I sleep with, they're so confused about what the fuck is going on. They don't even know
I can hear Renee coming in. I can hear Renee coming in.
Come on, Goofy. What is that all about? Just because they're a woman, they can't process.
I'm not putting down women. I'm just saying that the way that they're throwing this whole thing out. Like one of my chicks says, she don't know who's the lawyer and who's the defense lawyer, the way that they're questioning people. You know, it's just like, it's so confusing the evidence is right there. How much more the fuck do you need, people? Seriously.
The reality is, it's just like Dollar said, you're not going to get six people to agree on convicting him. He's going to get off. And when he gets off, it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem. It's going to be a big problem.
So do you think if he don't go to jail, if he gets off, you think there will be riots like the one in L.A.?
No. No.
I don't think that would be right. I don't think that would happen, but mostly because they're in Florida.
Yeah.
They look at people being a little different. Look at African Americans a little differently. I don't think there'll be a riot. I think he's going to get off. I don't think it's right, but I think he's going to get off. And he's using this teddy bear image that he's got of himself right now to make himself look innocent. So, you know, I don't think they're going to have a riot, though.
Go ahead.
Let me talk real quick, Knowledge, just real quick. You know, the funny thing is he gained hella weight.
Yeah.
And people were saying that he gained hella weight to make him look like the poor fat guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
initially now, I mean, when this initially happened, he actually had his head shaved bald. He looked like a skinhead. So they're going to use that as, they're going to use it against him. They're not. I mean, it is what it is. You look the way he looks now. And that's a teddy bear image. This poor fat guy couldn't have done this to this kid, you know. That's what they're going for.
Well, hold on. Let me bring Vernon in. Vernon, he done raised his hand. Yeah. Vernon, what's going on?
What's going on, Eric? What's going on, everybody?
Right. What's up, Vernon?
Hey, what's going on? Into Knowledge. Who we got Into Knowledge and Renee and Goof on here, right?
And Cuz on here, too. Yeah.
Oh, Cuz on here, too?
Yeah, your Cuz on here.
Oh, okay. What's going on, Cuz? y'all talking about this.
Yeah,
he muted
himself.
Yeah, y'all talking about some good stuff right now, man. That Trayvon Martin situation. I'm like Renee, man. You know, the way they done played this whole situation, as long as it's taken to get him into court, as long as it took to arrest him, you know, I mean, if the people hadn't have, like, you know, we said the other day, if the people hadn't have come forth and just start, you know, protesting and doing different things, they were going to sweep this thing under the rug, man. And right now, they want you to feel like they're doing something about it. Now, what exactly the jurors is going to do, I couldn't tell you. But I don't think it's going to be justice served in this trial, man. I think it's already been decided how this thing is going to turn out, man. You got an innocent kid here dead, but, you know, what tripped me out about the whole situation is that when you get innocent, you get black kids killed by law enforcement, different individuals, like this little guy here, security guard. You know, you get this stuff here happening all the time. It's been happening for years, Eric. I think you know about what I'm talking about. These things happen all the time, and then it's always swept under the rug. Nobody ever does anything about it, you know. And I don't know. Maybe they may make an example out of this guy this time and say, hey, we finna stop this. I don't know. Maybe they'll make an example out of him. But I'm like Renee, man. I don't really see justice being served in this case, man. It's just been too much of a game so far, man. You know, like I said, if it had been a little white kid, it'd been a whole different situation, man. It wouldn't have never taken this long to get it into the court system, you know. Being it who it is, you know, hey, they doing what they want to do with it.
I was going to touch on that. You know, there was a story probably about a year ago, same kind of scenario, but this time the guy who was killed was actually a robber, and he was breaking into people's houses. And this was over here in San Jose. So there was a, you know, guy who wanted to be like George Zimmerman. Well, anyways, he killed him. Right away, they took that guy into jail, and now he's facing 25 to life for being a vigilante.
But see, I believe that's one of the words they cannot use, though, isn't it?
Right, it is.
Yeah.
And see, and that's crazy. I mean, now, they don't want the tapes in. You know, they don't want, I say, the 911 call. They don't want that in the courtroom. You know, they don't want you using certain words. when this guy specifically used certain words when he called the 911 operator. So, I mean, all this stuff is basically evidence that they're trying to do away with. They don't even want it allowed in the courtroom. I mean, this film was really a hate crime. I mean, regardless of how you look at it, it was a hate crime.
Now, based on that, based on what you just said, now, hate crimes have to be tried by the federal government. Had they went in and did this as a hate crime, this would be a no-brainer. No, because all the stuff that Judge Nelson is not letting be allowed in terms of the psychological background, profiling information, the fact that Zimmerman's on medication, and this is one of the things I wanted to throw in, this dude got three priors that just mysteriously got removed. One was a sexual harassment. Two of them were aggravated assault on a police officer.
Yeah.
One of them was going to be a felon. And somehow, some way, all of that stuff got removed. If they tried him as a hate crime, we wouldn't even have to sit here and talk about this. This would be a done deal.
You know, if that Stalin would have went through, he would have never had his gun, and Trayvon Martin would have been alive today. But like I say, people that are in the law, they play around with it, and they don't believe that the true value of the law. They feel like they could do whatever the fuck they want. He must have knew somebody inside, because I heard about that too, that his little accounts suddenly just disappeared, and, everything was angry.
Well, Goofy, you got to understand, his dad is a retired magistrate judge.
Thank you.
His dad's brother is a sheriff. His mom is a clerk of the court. So he's got law enforcement running all through his family. And like you were pointing to before, about the fact that he couldn't make it and he'll do anything to make it. When you grow up in a family like that and you can't cut the mustard, and I agree with you 100% just based on that, everybody in his family is in some legal capacity except him. So he had to find a way to work his way in there.
I tell you what, I honestly think that if he walked, this was nothing more than a test to see what the black people would do. You go out and you kill a black child, and this man walks away from this unscathed, and the black people don't do anything? Oh, hell, you thought those drones or something, they'll amp this thing up 1,000%.
True.
Now, can I throw a question out there? If he never said the fucking punks, or all that shit, would you think it would be, racially motivated?
Well, Judge Nelson has totally eliminated the whole, she's trying to eliminate the whole racial element altogether.
Right,
in the general public, it's going to be a racial issue. But in her courtroom, and like Mr. Talk was saying, she's already told the defense and the prosecution, she's already let them know what language they can use, what language they can't use in order to diffuse that whole racial element. Now, outside the courtroom, that's something entirely different. But I wanted to throw this out here at you guys. Did you know that at the same time that this is going on, the kid that shot up the movie theater in Colorado is also on trial, and it's getting no publicity whatsoever.
Besides the point that he's going to be shackled to the floor when he comes in the courtroom. Yeah, I'm on top of it. Yep, they doing that a hush-hush, too.
Yeah. So these cases are connected in that sense, in the sense that they probably going to throw the book at the white boy in Colorado, because he was a straight-A student. Actually, he was working for, I don't know if it was a defense firm or somebody, he was working in some laboratory.
Right.
Had a defense contract or something. So, yeah, he's going to be the example. Zimmerman's going to be the exception. Like, okay, this was just an arbitrary incident, and
it was an accident.
And hopefully the prosecution will appeal it, hopefully, but we just have to wait and see.
Yeah, that's not saying
he's going to get off. Now, the prosecution can pull a rabbit out of their hat, but they really need to – the prosecution, in my opinion, they really need to step up. They got to get more aggressive, man. They really do, because they're just letting this thing follow its own course. They're making no effort to dictate where it's going to go or how it should go. And like I said before, they need to call that female officer back up who processed the evidence and expose her, even if she didn't do anything wrong. Just present an element of incompetence. You didn't do your job right. That's all I got to say about that.
You know, I know I'm not the only one to see this, but Zimmerman, you know, he was, to me, he really provoked that whole situation by following the kid. Okay, the 911 operator told him, asked him not to follow him. I'm going to ask you not to do that. I'm going to, if you, are you following him? I'm going to have to ask you not to follow him, not to do that. Okay, and he continued to do what he was doing anyway. You know,
he broke the rules of engagement.
To me, he had his mind made up what he was going to do, man, already, you know.
Yeah, he did.
He pretty much knew what he was going to do. I mean, it's just self-explanatory. That would be like me knowing, okay, that would be like me going in the room with into you into knowledge and you, Eric. I know y'all don't like me. I know y'all don't like me, and I know y'all done talked about y'all going to do something to me. And I come in there anyway just looking for some trouble. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know.
Right.
And I not only that, I come in there talking smack to y'all, man. Just provoking y'all to go ahead and try it. And I'm sitting here knowing I got this damn Clint Eastwood up under my shirt.
Hey, let me ask all of you guys this question. Because I know before I moved, I've been in Atlanta for the last 10 years. Okay, being from Oakland, my mother started the neighborhood watch because our neighborhood got just ransacked with the whole dope game. So she started a neighborhood watch. I know how that works. Let me ask all you a question. If you're a person who, say, in Zimmerman's position, if you're on neighborhood watch, would you actually, once you see suspicious activity, actually pursue someone in any form or fashion?
No.
On a normal day, no. No.
No.
I mean, you know, and that's a good question, Knowledge. I know where you're going with this, but no.
Was he the only neighborhood watch? Like, he didn't have, like, a little group of friends or anything like that?
No, he was the only one.
Well, see, here's the thing, too. He was supposed to be going to the store to get some food for lunch, and he just happened to notice this young black male walking through the neighborhood. So he took it upon himself to, you know, follow him and see what he was doing. So he wasn't even on patrol at that time. I guess that's what they call it. He wasn't even on patrol at that time anyway.
And maybe it's because I'm from the ghetto. Man, I'm not running up on nobody.
Thank you.
And maybe it's just because of what I've seen at 52 years old and fact that I don't have a criminal record. And I had partners who were slanging them boulders, and I had partners who would stick up kids. Even though I wasn't doing that, it was just a product of the environment. Those are your friends growing up. You know, they decide that that's what they're going to do, whatever, whatever. However, with the stuff that I've seen, even if I'm the head neighborhood watch person, man, I'm not rolling up on nobody, even if I'm strapped. Because that's a dangerous, that right there. It's 50-50 at that point,
I do believe that's what gave him the extra, balls to go after this young man, because he knew he was strapped. Of course, You know, in the hood, we know you may not be the only one strapped at this time. You know
what
I mean?
Thank you.
But you know, his balls had swollen, and you know he had to go and be the hero. And I stand by my saying. I said the first day, and I'm gonna say it again. He was trying to be the hero. As we've been saying on the show, he was trying to make himself, I guess, fit into his family image, you know, as being somebody important. And he ended up getting his behind beat. And that's all
idiot.
It was.
He's an idiot.
He couldn't take it.
That's it. Okay. Well, we're going to shift a little bit. Speaking of idiots, Hernandez.
Oh, my God.
Now they looking for a third suspect, and they say the gun is leading them to other murders that he may have been involved in.
Yeah, he's linked to a double homicide in 2012.
Yeah. So, what is really going on with that? You got $40 million contract. $40 million, but a couple of Super Bowl rings, and you mean to tell me you can't leave your past behind?
He's
really?
A moron. He's a moron. He's not even an idiot.
A lot of them.
He's
a
moron. A
lot of them do it, Eric. Look at C. Murder.
Well, okay. He was trying to live up to the image that he thought he was untouchable, but they fooled him, didn't they?
C. Murder was not in the NFL. He didn't have no $41 million contract.
That's true,
no,
too.
They had a multi-million dollar
record label.
I understand that, Vernon, but here's what I'm saying. This kid was made. Even if, and the next contract he was going to get, as long as he didn't get injured, it was going to be bigger than the one he got with New England. And I guarantee you the contract he got with New England was probably for no more than about 4 years, and he's only, what, 23? So that means at the end of his contract, he's only going to be 27. So he was due to make a whole lot more money. That dude is, they say he was a gangbanger. I can't say whether he was a gangbanger or not, but he damn sure fits the M.O. He done shot somebody in the face. He linked to two homicides from a year ago. Now they got him on. The homicide they got him on is the one just a couple of months ago. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Now, where is the guy from? Where was he actually from?
He played at the University of
Florida.
Oh, here we go again. He played at the University of Florida. Damn, why does Florida keep showing up?
Hey, y'all get
There's
off my
state.
What's
wrong with that damn state?
Get off
and I'm
going to
tell
state,
y'all
man.
Something. I'm gonna tell y'all something, and Mr. Talk, no offense. My ex-girlfriend's family, she's from New York. They're from Harlem. Her parents moved to Florida. And I'm gonna be honest with you. When we used to drive to Tampa and we used to cross the border, where I'm at is about 4 hours from the Florida Georgia border. The first time I stepped foot in Florida, it gave me a bad feeling. I didn't even know why. I didn't like the place. I didn't like being there. Nobody did anything to me. Nobody said anything bad to me. I just got a bad vibe from that state. And that's just me. Florida just didn't feel right to me. It was just like, ugh, when I showed up there, I was like, ooh, this ain't even cool. And she was looking at me like, what are you talking about? You know, we're at a rest stop. She's like, what are you talking about? I was like, man, there's something wrong with this place. I don't know what it is, but I digress. But yeah, he played at the University of Florida. I don't know where he actually grew up, but evidently he's had gang affiliations.
I want to say he came from the boot, but basically the man down by Miami way, but I'm not sure.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, I think so. So,
okay.
You know, the University of Florida is known, you know, for having those type of individuals on the team. You know, Steve Sperry used to have a whole bunch of them. So it's not surprising. But what is surprising is how can you go to this level, you're making all this money, but yet you still aren't, I guess, what word am I looking for? grown up enough to leave that stuff alone. You know? Like you're not going to get caught.
Because you gave a gangster money. And you gave a gangster legitimacy.
Mm.
But you didn't stop him from being a gangster.
Right. You know, Geraldo.
No, don't say that shit, because I'm a gangster. I have money, and I know how to fucking control myself.
Okay, well, then that's not you, Goofy. That's not you, Goofy. That's my point. That's not you. We're talking about Fernandez.
He hasn't grown up yet. That's where his fucking problem is. Drunks like that give gang members a bad fucking name. You know, gang members were supposed to fucking protect neighborhood. You know, that's what made me all crazy into the gang, because I wanted to protect my fucking neighborhood. And, you know, I did what I did, and I've done some time for the things I did, and I'm not proud of what I did, but that's me.
Goofy.
And but see, punks like this, look at him. He's taking pictures with guns and all this shit, like a little fucking girl.
Breathe, Goofy.
Fuck, man.
Breathe, Goofy.
Goofy.
Go ahead, Vernon.
Hey, Goof, now, how old are you, Goof?
So I'm right there. I'm right there in my 30s.
You in your 30s? Okay. Now, yes. I agree with you. When gangs first started, they were supposed to be looking out for neighborhoods. But with you being 30 years old, I don't think you came in that area where they supposed to protect the neighborhood. I think that wave you come in there where they was violent, dope dealing, and everything was going on, man. I think the positivity of gangs was gone when you come in there.
I agree.
All right.
I agree. I'm 52. I'm 52, and I'm 52, and I know about the Crips and Bloods very well. Very well.
Wow. Okay.
Just so you know, Goofy, one of my partners used to be Felix Mitchell with Mickey Moore. I don't know if you know those names.
That's
legendary. Legendary.
There you have it.
But you know, but let me tell you something. I was that little punk that grew up with the old cats. That's who I fucking was. So that's what my mentality is. And you
I
know,
understand
where I grew up, it was the North versus the South. And I chose the North Pack because I'm from the North. And you know, them South boys, they be coming in like some roaches. You know what I mean? And if you don't hold your turf down, shit, you lost your turf. And that's how I grew up. And that's how most of these gang members grew up. But nowadays, it's all about being little bitches in the bathroom taking pictures of yourself with guns to try to make yourself look cute. And I'm glad this motherfucker's going down. Maybe it'll teach other gang members lessons that you can't be fucking stupid like this. If you're going to be a gang member, just be a gang member. You don't need to fucking show off and shit. You know what I mean? A lot of fuckers try to show off and act like they're this and that, but then they're always on the radar. They're the ones that are always getting fucked with by the cops. And motherfuckers don't realize that shit. They're thinking they're all this and that, but shit, the law's there. You can't escape that shit unless you're in the fucking land by yourself. Seriously.
Yeah, and like you were saying, Mr. Talk, I'm sorry, and like Vernon was saying, Hernandez is because Goofy said he was in his 30s. Hernandez is only 23. So his whatever gang affiliation he has, I agree with Vernon. It's that new wave gang shit. And just like you're saying, Goofy, it's where it's flash and cash. You're just out there showing yourself. You feel like you're untouchable. And you're setting yourself up for a downfall in the event that something breaks. And you actually get an opportunity. See, this is probably something he didn't even see coming. He didn't see it coming going to University of Florida. And then the next thing you know, the Patriots pick him up in the third round. And then the next thing you know, he balling out of control. The next thing you know, he got a Super Bowl. But at the same time, all that's transpiring, he still has that same mentality. That, you know, I'm this. And look where he's at now. Now they got him tied. They got this dude tied to three murders.
Three.
Not
three.
One. Three.
Yeah, not just one, but three.
And they're bringing in accomplices.
I've been watching too much movies. You know, every fucking gangster, they try to live like Scarface and all these other motherfuckers. You can't live that shit. Stop that. Live your own tale. Tell your own fucking your own story. Don't live off somebody else's. You know what I mean? And most of these movies out here, they show gangsters that fail or people that fail. None of them prosper or succeed in anything. None of these motherfuckers ever think of succeeding in shit.
They all die.
Stupid.
Yeah, they all die. My favorite movie is The Godfather, and I think Don Corleone is the coldest gangster, even though you can argue whether he's fictitious or not, because they say that Francis Ford Coppola and Mario Puzo actually knew people like this. He was the coldest one of all, but you never saw the only time you saw him shoot somebody was in Godfather 2, and it was only one person. After that, he was corporate. After that, he didn't shoot nobody. But he always had people doing the work for him.
You talking about mafia? You talking about mafia versus
still gangsters? Vernon,
yeah,
it's still gangsters.
I mean, they still gangsters. But you think about it. You talk about mafia. You talking about organized crime? You know,
street gangs.
Street gangs is way past organized now. They you got everybody acting out, doing whatever the hell they want to do. There's no authority there no more.
That's true.
Street gang.
That's true.
None whatsoever. No kind of structure in them or nothing.
Yeah, there's no hierarchy.
Nope.
Wow.
There ain't. a whole different ballpark.
And that's where Hernandez is at right now. He played his hand, and it looks like he's going to have to fold. Now, his money going to run out because even if he gets off, he got way too many charges, man. They're going to bleed him dry. He got too many charges. They got to get him off this Lloyd murder that he's a suspect on. Then if they can get him off that, now they've been tacked on these two homicides, and actually three people were killed in 2012, but he's linked to two of them.
And don't forget
all
the
gun charges. They got to get him off of that one.
Mm-hmm.
Then he got the civil suit of the guy he shot in the face.
Knowledge.
Yes. Yeah.
Who would you think was the dumbest, him or Ray Carew?
Oh,
I give him equal standing.
Wow. You know what? And you know what? I'm glad you brought that up, Vernon, because I was about to say, you know, it's amazing. You know, it's not like there haven't been examples to show you what not to do. You know, Ray Lewis, Vic, you know, Carew. I mean, you know, that's just the high profile ones. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean, what? Do you think you're just better than everybody else and you just, you know, you can get away with it? Really? If you're going in with that mentality, then I don't know.
Yeah,
you know,
and looking at the Ray Carew, man, you're going to kill a woman and your own child because you don't want to pay child support, and you're making over six
crazy?
Figures.
Man.
And you're making over six figures. Really, is it that serious, dude? Come
coward.
On. And see, I know how the NFL works. You get paid a 16th of your salary every week. So imagine this. Imagine a ball player that, say, makes, $6 million a year. Every week, you get paid a 16th of your salary every week. Divide that up, $5 million. You go into the bank every week with about $250,000. Man, ain't nobody stopping me. Ain't nobody getting in the way of that. I'm sorry. Because
no one, huh?
I might get my knee blown out, whatever the case may be. But as long as if I can go to the bank like that every week and it's legit, and I got direct deposit, 250 G's, man, please, man, I'm not even tripping.
Wow. Hold on. Let me bring this lady in.
Uh-oh.
Hello, Miss Lady. How you doing today? Happy Friday to you. Miss Lady? Are you there?
She's holding us in suspense.
Well, maybe she's after herself.
Okay.
That was not nice, you guys. We have to give her a chance.
Yeah, well,
my point is,
hey, there
Renee,
you go.
Renee, that kind of helped pump her up when we do that, Renee.
No, you have to give her the opportunity to speak her mind.
Miss Lady, are you there? I think she should have a communication
problem. I'm just listening to.
There she goes.
It's really about these ball players. I'm wondering, you know, because I just think abuse and killing and beating up folks. Do you think they're using a lot of steroids and that has a lot to do with it? Because they're not thinking clearly. And,
yes, it does. Yes, it does.
That's what I'm saying. It just makes no sense.
So with the roid rage really fucking does it? I don't think that, you know, because.
Yes, it does.
I never really snapped and wanted to kill people and shit like that.
Do you take it regularly?
Steroids put you in a different frame of mind.
Let me ask Goofy a question because I know about this very well. I've been involved with professional athletes for the last 20, 30 years. Actually, my ex-roommate won the triple jump in the 96 games here in Atlanta. Let me ask you this, Goofy. Have you ever taken steroids on a regular basis, and did you inject them?
No, I took them by pill.
Okay. When you are injecting steroids, now, people have to understand something. Steroids serve a twofold purpose. Number one, they're performance enhancing. Number two, if you get injured, they speed up the recovery of the muscle tissue. So you can take them for different reasons. You can take them because you want to build muscle mass over a very short period of time, and you can also take them because, say, for instance, you have an injury, and this is how the NFL works. You got an injury,
yeah,
you don't want
to
be out.
For the injury.
You feel like you're feeling like you're going to lose your job, so you got major knee surgery, you get it reconstructed, they put you on medication, and you got to understand, with all these professional teams, they have their own doctors.
Mm-hmm.
They have their own orthopedic surgeons. So you don't need health care. You don't need any of that. That's all in-house. So when they need you to get out there and to be out there doing it, they can actually speed up your recovery. Now, the downside of that is your body is getting overloaded with testosterone, which has debilitating effects. It affects your cancer. It affects your liver, it affects your pancreas, it affects your digestive system, and more importantly, it affects you psychologically because you're on a testosterone high. So in regards to what Miss Lady is saying, the steroids affect you? Yeah, you become short-tempered, you lose patience, you become easily aggravated. And that's why they call it roid rage. It's like, what do they call it? Road rage, where you just ain't got no patience for drivers. It's the same thing. It's just that with steroids, you're chemically imbalanced. And that's how that works. It plays a huge role.
Goofy's going to disagree with anything I say ever since I told him I went to have 2 university degrees. I'm very clear about that, so it's okay, Goofy. You can continue to disagree. But, you know,
No, darling.
And sorry if you don't, okay? Now, you know what? What is your name, the gentleman that just talked? You really have some really good information and some good points.
Oh, you're talking knowledge? Yeah, that's knowledge.
That's his name, Knowledge.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So I'm thinking some men, they have a real sense of entitlement. Remember, I was saying they're delusional and narcissists. So couple that plus steroids equals a disaster waiting to happen.
I think steroids alone,
because of the way they're metabolized in the body and the effects on the body, that alone is enough. I mean, people even take prednisone, which is a steroid, and that has, for chronic medical conditions, inflammatory conditions, they have told me that they get anxious, they get easily upset and emotional, even on prednisone. So I can only imagine the steroids that the athletes are ingesting, it must be a...
They're extremely potent. And just so that all of your callers know, anytime you're giving a medicine that has the word zone in it, cortisone, anything with the word zone is a derivative of a steroid. It can be a cream. It can be a pill. It can be a liquid. It doesn't matter what it is. When you hear the word zone, that is a steroid-based product.
Highly dangerous. It's very damaging to your organs, isn't it?
Isn't there an
issue also with your performance ability in terms of sexually? Sometimes.
Oh, yeah. It kills your sex drive. It kills it. Because you're overloaded on testosterone. You're completely overloaded, so it has a negative effect in terms of your sex drive. Now, when you start taking it, oh yeah, you good. But once you start taking it on a regular basis, it's the law of diminishing returns. The more you take it, it starts diminishing.
And so I'm sure they're aware of these things. Everybody, you know, people are aware of it, but. You know, I guess it's the price they pay to want to continue to perform, because if they ain't out there on that field performing, they're going to get cut.
And that's what I was saying earlier. What people don't understand is when you look at sports beneath the surface, basketball players get paid once a month, but they get per diems when they travel. Baseball players get paid once a week, and they get per diems when they travel. Football players get paid once a week for 16 weeks. You're only working 16 weeks out of the year. Now, you got to deal with, and football is so punishing, is that
it sure is.
Players, and I played myself, you're always constantly fighting to get back out there. I remember when I was in college, I returned a punt. And I didn't even get hit directly on my knee. I tried to jump over somebody and got hit with a helmet. I ended up with torn cartilage. Now, this is back in the early 80s. I had microscopic surgery. I was so hell-bent on getting back on the field that from the time that I had microscopic surgery, only 14 days had passed, and my ass was right back out there again.
Wow.
Right back out there again. 14 days later.
Hold on, let me bring somebody else in.
Orthoscopic surgery.
Welcome, Joe.
Macaroni Joe.
Hey, Vern. It's orthoscopic surgery. I don't think it's microscopic.
I said orthoscopic.
Oh, you did?
Oh. Yes. Yeah.
All right.
Uh-huh. See?
My ears
can't.
You
come in late trying to correct someone, huh?
I should have said my ears can't pronunciate.
No, okay.
So just to and I'm gonna be quiet for a minute, just to answer what Miss Lady was saying. Yes, there is a lot of pressure to get back out there, because no matter what sport that you're playing, if you're not that prized athlete, if you're not that LeBron James or that Kobe Bryant, which there's only one or two of, there's always somebody waiting to take your position. And you know it. You know it. So you do whatever you can to get back out there. And, yeah, I feel the effects of it today. I hate the fact that I took steroid shots. Now, I never got hooked on it. I didn't do it from a standpoint of performance enhancing. I took it to speed up the injury process, the recovery process from injury. And, yeah, when I get up, when I stand up, if my knees are bent, my knees pop like popcorn. And if, when people are around me, they're like, damn, dude, what the hell is going on? What is that?
Like that background noise.
No, no, I'm saying, they ask me, what is that?
Yeah, I know.
I'm just like, that's just the effect of what I did. Now, if I could go back and do it again, would I change anything? No, I wouldn't. That's the psychopathic behavior of an athlete. You wouldn't change it because it gives you such a high that if you haven't done it, you just don't understand what it feels like. But just to say that, lady, and I'm done, I just want to listen now.
Is lady here?
Yeah, she's here.
Oh, lady, what happened? Your appointment canceled?
Oh, there you go.
Here we go. No,
I'm just saying hi, lady.
I heard you come in Home Depot, and I don't want you all to hear a whole bunch of noise. So would you please mute me?
Okay. We will mute you.
Goodbye, lady.
All right. Anyway, Joe, I know you got something to say. Go ahead. Get it on in.
What's the topic?
Okay, right now we're talking about Hernandez and steroids and, you know, how dumb can you really be to mess up a contract like that?
I was discussing him the other night. I barely know who he is, but the guy's obviously spoiled. He's gotten away or suspected that he's gotten away with about 2 other murders. When you're a prize athlete, you're treated like a little girl from the time you're discovered, around 10 or 11 or so, and you're nurtured along. Did you know that Allen Iverson, he was in jail at one time, and he got out because of a pardon by the governor?
When he was in high school in Virginia. Yeah. They had the brawl at the bowling alley.
And, I mean, so these guys, when you're that high of a caliber of an athlete, you can do no wrong. So until they get into the pro leagues and then when they finally get out, I think 75% of pro athletes, they lose their fortune within either 5 or 8 years.
About 5 years.
About 5 years? Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Wow. That is just outrageous.
Well, but some people blame them for making millions. That's the marketplace. If they're worth millions by creating millions of dollars for the people who sponsor them, like the advertisers and the coaches and the owners and everything, and the people who pay the prices, I say, okay, no problem. You know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. Well, I guess you're right.
But knowledge is right. A lot of them are psychopathic. You know, they're spoiled.
They're just spoiled, huh? You know, go ahead.
When you're spoiled too much, you really don't have a sense of right and wrong.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of these athletes don't have it. Huh?
Yeah, I'm here.
So they don't have a sense of right and wrong, and they get away with murder, literally, so they think they can get away with just about anything.
Find the noise.
You found the noise?
No, I said I was trying to find the noise.
Huh.
I can't find it.
It ain't me.
No, it's not you. Oh, trust me, I'm going to try it all, y'all. I don't know where it's coming from.
We always thought it was you, Vern, because you wrote.
I'm driving, but I'm not in my truck.
Yo, okay. Joe, you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Never mind. All right. Yeah.
There
but,
it is
Yeah,
was it here
I don't know.
Before I got here?
No.
You know what? It's probably me in some way. I don't know how. But in other shows I go to, I hear the exact same sound. So I'm wondering.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, it's probably you then.
Yeah, probably.
Hey, Delicious. I see you in the chat room.
Hey, Joe, I wanted to bring you up today because Vern asked, who's dumber, Aaron Hernandez or Ray Carew?
Ray Carew? I don't know him.
That was the guy. That was the guy back in the late '80s, early '90s, that had his girlfriend was pregnant.
Right. You mean Rod Carew?
he plotted to have his girlfriend killed, which he did, and they shot her in the stomach and killed her and the unborn child, and to this day, he's still in jail.
I don't know the case, so I can't comment on it. And Hernandez, I just found out about him about a little less than a week ago. So.
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't think Joe is a big sports fan.
No, I don't care for baseball.
Oh, okay. Well, we're talking football.
I thought Rod Carew. Okay. Was Rod Carew
a
baseball
player? Speaking of Rod Carew, that played for the Anaheim Angels.
Yeah.
Oh, no. That's a different person.
Oh, okay.
So he's a Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Famer.
Joe is a goat herder. He don't deal with
sports,
man.
Oh, Joe is a goat herder?
Yeah, he's a goat herder.
I thought it was sheep.
Yeah. It is sheep. Don't anybody ruin that image.
Okay. Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
There's a joke about Montana.
What is it?
They say Montana is a state where men are men and sheep are scared.
No, that's Wyoming. The sheep in Montana, they're willing.
Oh, Lord.
Hey,
what's the matter, Renee?
I'm just, you know, Joe.
What?
I'm just saying. Nothing, Joe. Do what you do, man. Do what you do.
Thank you.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Me.
All right, Joe. So, I mean, we got everybody else's opinion, so might as well ask you, what is your opinion on the trial? The Trayvon Martin trial, that is.
I'm waiting for the defense and the prosecution to lock horns about who started the fight. Did Trayvon Martin throw the first punch? Was he justified? Was Zimmerman pressuring him? Was he up in his face? I want to get to that part. Everything else before that part, to me, is we all know about it. You know, he wasn't supposed to get out of the car.
No. You got to be kidding me, man.
Okay, I'm kidding.
Joe, a stranger approached you. Now think about it.
Mm-hmm.
If a stranger approached you, somebody you don't even coming up to you, following you around.
Right.
You don't know this person. Then they coming towards you. Well, I mean, hell, he probably didn't know this guy was a security guy or whatever he's supposed to be. What are you gonna do, Joe?
If I'm followed into a dead-end alley, or a dead-end where Martin was followed into, and there were a couple of scenarios. He could have come up on Zimmerman, trying to walk past him to get through, to get by him, to go home. Or he could have gone up directly to Zimmerman because he doesn't like the fact he's followed and nobody can blame him. But then we have to think about the law. Did he go up to Zimmerman and automatically punch him? Did he stand in front of him? Did he say, "What are you doing?" Did Zimmerman just take out a gun and shoot him? So I don't know what's happening at that particular point. I want to know, since there was a struggle, who's going to say who started it? To me, that's the interesting part.
Well, but Joe, the problem.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Vernon. I was just going to say, if the guy took off running because somebody was following him, then that person started pursuing him. I mean, the next thing, I don't give a damn if he did hit him first.
I'm just talking about the law.
Yeah,
the law has a different perspective on situations than most laymen do. We can...
What did you call me, Joe?
A layman, like you never got laid. That's what I mean. All right.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Joe, let me approach you, Joe, from a legal standpoint.
Right.
Let me approach you from a legal standpoint, Joe. There is no preponderance of evidence to determine who started the fight because there are no witnesses. So if you're waiting to see how the prosecution and the defense is going to struggle over who started the fight, it's all conjecture because nobody saw this fight start. You only have one person who said, okay, I saw Trayvon on top of him. That's not the start of the fight.
Right.
That's the fight in progress.
Right.
So the whole premise doesn't it doesn't hold up because
well, you still have to find out who started it. I mean, once
you have no witnesses.
We still it doesn't matter if it. We still have to try to find out who started it. You can't say
how are you
going to
do
no
that,
witnesses.
Joe?
You can't go beyond the beginning point to the middle. You can't say okay, there was a fight, but let's not find out who started it.
How can we determine that, Joe, with no
That's
evidence?
It's up to them to determine.
But they can't.
Well,
it's all conjecture.
We don't know if they can't. We haven't gotten to that point in the trial yet. Maybe there's forensic evidence.
That'll
say it.
That's splitting hairs, Joe, because if you're the prosecution and I'm the defense, however you say the fight started, I can counteract and say the fight didn't start that way. Now, what's going to rest on that, and I understand what you're saying, is who can present a more compelling argument. However, there is nothing in either argument that's actually factual.
We don't know. They haven't gotten there yet.
Okay, I'll wait and
see. Well, in essence, it's really one man's word against the other. Because
and the other one is dead, Renee.
And the other person is dead. So you cannot really say who started the fight. You can only go by there was a lady that heard on the phone when she was calling the police, and she was saying there's someone asking for help. Then you got to determine whose voice was that. You don't know if it was Trayvon Martin screaming for help, and you don't know if it was Zimmerman.
You
cannot find out who started the fight. There's no way.
We
First of
don't
all, he should have stayed
that.
In the car.
See, you know
the
prosecutor, you know the defense is going to try to make the case that Trayvon Martin started the fight without any type of real provocation.
They have to.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. How come everybody agrees with me when I say it that way? Why doesn't everybody? Hey, you know what? All you guys got to go to Montana and get some sheep. Otherwise,
oh, Lord.
Hey, don't try to go to Montana and get those sheep.
Here we
get
go.
That sheep.
Oh, shit.
Is that
Goofy?
Am I here or am I muted?
You're here, Goofy.
Is that Goofy?
Yeah, he's on.
Hey, Goofy.
How you doing, Joe? How's the sheep?
Sheep are good.
but they're scared.
No, they're not. No, they used to be.
I like sheep with a big chick.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
No. Come on, Goofy. Come on, Goofy.
Come
on.
All right.
Mr. Talk, your shows are classic, dude.
Oh, Lord.
You can't even script this stuff.
But I have to
say, oh, my God.
The Goofy has to stay away from my big titty shit.
Sheep.
Oh, Lord. Anyway.
But go ahead, Goofy. You were going to talk about Joe's stance on the start of the fight.
No, it's just regardless of who started it, did it deserve for him to get killed? Seriously. You got a gun. Why are you going to start a fight?
No. It depends.
Like I said earlier, Joe, when you were here, who fights with a gun?
Who fights with a gun?
Yeah.
Nope. Nobody
punk,
I know.
Punk-ass bitch fight with guns?
Nobody I know.
If you're going to bring a gun out, obviously you're going to use it. Guns are not there. Well, guns are meant to be used. I mean, what's the point of flashing an object unless someone else has the same object, then you can have a little fucking game of tug of war. But until then,
What happened to the two flashlights he had with him? Where were the flashlights? Because apparently he had two flashlights with the gun, right? So what happened to the other flashlight?
And I think one of those flashlights were used in that fight. I do personally.
You know what I also heard last night?
That's something we haven't heard about. Let me bring Cat in. Cat, you're on the air.
Hi, Cat.
Hey, I just got here. I'm sorry. Y'all go ahead and talk. I'll just listen, okay?
There's one thing.
Cat,
okay.
You're not out shooting coyotes with an M16, are you?
Not an M16, no.
Oh, it was well. On another show last night. Our former holla, brought out this conjecture. He said that if Zimmerman was reaching into his pocket to pull out let's say an iPad, a cell phone, and Trayvon was there being pursued into the dead end space, and he sees Zimmerman reaching into his pocket and then pulls out an object, it's possible that Trayvon, not wanting to be shot because some stranger is stalking him, could have hit Zimmerman first. If that particular situation actually
this is why the fight in itself will not stand. Based on everything that you're saying, the fight itself, it can't stand on its own. It can't, because there's too many possibilities.
Right,
but they're going to try to limit the possibilities. That's the job of both lawyers.
George Zimmerman is protecting an area that has been burglarized, not a gang-infested, homicide area. So why the hell does he need to be carrying a gun to justify that he's the security guy around there? I mean, what is him with a gun? Well, why is that even possible? Seriously.
Well, he's
carrying
a gun.
He's protecting a community of apartments or whatnot. You really seriously want to put the law in your fucking hand? And like I told you guys earlier, he did this to prove that he's not weak and that he's not a loser like his background shows him to be. He did this to prove that he's
that's
somebody.
That's very possible.
That's very possible, but that's irrelevant. What you guys don't seem to... I'm just going to say it. The only thing that's relevant in this case is what happened in that altercation. All this other stuff that people talk about and conjecture and all that is irrelevant. It's only what happened in that fight, and that's what the jury has to rule this on. Now, if you've got to understand, nobody's not going to be happy with the outcome of this case because we've all been manipulated into taking sides. I'm not going to take sides. People want to say that Zimmerman took a ring off Trayvon's finger. I mean, you hear so much crazy stuff that nobody can prove. So nobody can prove it. The only thing that matters is what happened during the altercation.
And they can't rule on the altercation because there's no evidence.
This
is why this cat is going to walk. They can't rule on it. There's
no
evidence of the altercation.
They have forensic evidence of where Martin was when he got shot.
But Joe, I'm talking about the actual altercation.
We don't know
There's no evidence on the altercation.
We don't know where the evidence is.
There
Who
is not.
What the evidence is.
The only evidence that we have is that someone saw, there was a person who saw Trayvon on top of him. That's the only evidence there is. That's after the altercation started.
We don't know. That's not when it started.
We know there was an altercation, but the only other person that can even say there was an altercation was the person who saw Trayvon on top of him. So whether Zimmerman had raped somebody in the past or Trayvon had stolen jewelry, that's totally irrelevant.
Not necessarily, Pat, because if they... I think something like 17 motions were given to the judge to try to bring in past experiences, and I think the judge ruled...
She's not allowing it.
Yeah, he disallowed a lot of them. The thing is, I don't know what's going to be allowed, what's not going to be allowed until that point in the trial comes up, and then all of a sudden we're all going to say, we didn't know that.
Joe, there has to be a preponderance of evidence.
No, not in criminal trials, knowledge. It's only in civil suits you have preponderance of evidence. You have to have reasonable doubt. Beyond a reasonable doubt in criminal cases.
Well, guess what?
Here's a question I'm about to ask everybody on here. So what evidence did they use to get it to trial?
Dead body.
I can answer that.
Okay, I got two dead bodies. Go ahead, Kat.
When originally people yell and scream about the first when it first happened that the that he wasn't arrested and it wasn't investigated as a murder right away. The reason that it wasn't is because the prosecutor's office didn't think there was enough evidence to prosecute him. So the state hired brought in a special prosecutor to prosecute it. That's what she was hired to do. But the affidavit that, and I know these I might go over and over, but you have to remember what happened was this: she came in and she wrote up an affidavit to take to the grand jury to get the arrest to go to the grand jury, and in that affidavit she didn't say anything favorable. She left out details about the case, and there was nothing in there favorable to Zimmerman. So right there, she's opened up something that could possibly lead to an appeal if he's to it being overturned if he's found guilty and is convicted.
I agree.
So this case, let me tell you the most important part of this case. Yes, Trayvon is dead. It's a tragedy. He's not coming back, and his parents, I can't imagine losing one of my sons, and they are older than Trayvon. But the way the state of Florida is prosecuting this is what's on trial. And
yep.
I think that's very important to look at.
Yep.
Because if this happens again, no matter what race it is that gets killed, in a situation where you have an overly zealous neighborhood watchman who feels like he has the authority to carry a gun in his pocket, even though it's legal for him to carry that gun in his pocket, but we have to look at this culture of violence and the way the state prosecutes these cases. But anyway, that's all I want to say, really. I think that's who is on trial. It's the state of Florida.
And I'm looking close
at what they say.
And I agree with Kat wholeheartedly. And, Joe, here's the thing that you have to understand, and you probably understand this better than I do. You probably know the law better than I do. But one of the things that I do really understand is that when you get into the adjudication process, when you get into the adjudication process, mm-hmm. if the evidence is either tainted or gets sketchy, and this goes back to the OJ case when you had Mark Furman, who we all know he was planting stuff. As soon as you start doing that, now, Zimmerman doesn't have the type of defense that O.J. had. He doesn't have Richard Kardashian. He doesn't have Johnny Cochran. He doesn't have that type of legal team. However, with the way that the evidence is being presented, and it's creating such a gray cloud, and you bring up a very good point, how the fight started. And that's the thing, and I'm in agreement with you, because really that's what it's going to hinge upon, how well that is actually argued. But in the adjudication of the case, based on the evidence, there's no way to determine it. That's the problem. Not saying you're wrong.
Yeah.
I think you're absolutely right. We got to determine how the fight started. The problem is we can't.
Well, we may or may not. But here's the thing about criminal cases, and, in fact, all kinds of cases where you have a jury. You have to win a case not just based on the evidence. You have to win it in such a way to make the evidence persuade the jury.
Right.
Juries don't operate on logic, especially today's juries, where you have so many fucking immigrants, they don't understand English anyway. So when you're having juries like this, they're swayed by emotions. And it's up to the prosecution, it's up to the defense team to give a case based on the best emotional appeal.
Right, to be compelling.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to make sense. It doesn't
right.
have to be compelling.
And Mr. Talk, didn't I say that earlier? Is that based on the evidence that was given, that the jurors have to make a logical decision, and Joe just brought my point home.
No, I said they don't make a logical decision.
No. I'm saying, listen to what I'm saying.
Okay.
You just brought my point home because you weren't on here earlier.
Right.
I'm saying that based on the evidence, they have to logically recreate the whole scenario, which they're not going to be able to do. They're not going to be able to do it and come in agreement.
No, that's not okay.
So it'll be a mistrial. It'll be a mistrial.
We don't know. We don't know that. But there's one other thing I'd like to bring up about what happened with the what's her name, Rachel or Rochelle's testimony.
Testimony, Gentile.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. That was really sad. I mean, I'm telling you, that was one of the saddest things I've ever seen. And that's the only part of the trial I watched was yesterday afternoon. That poor girl, listen, she got, from what I understand about entering affidavits as testimony into a court case, they
right.
have to be. If a person is blind or they can't, for some reason, understand English, then a stenographer has to transcribe that. Yeah, and so something was written in cursive. She cannot read cursive. She cannot write cursive. And I think that's an indictment of our the school system down in Florida right there. Hell, I'd never move to Florida based on that they have someone going into the 12th. I mean, she's going into the 12th grade, and she's 19 years old, and she can't read or write cursive. I mean, what kind of school system is that, you know, that she's in down there?
Well, Mr. Talk alluded to that earlier. He talked about
that.
But since her, I mean, so right there, her testimony is not
right. It's tainted.
There's so much doubt. It's so tainted. They should have never entered. They made a mistake. The prosecution. That's what I'm telling you about how this case is prosecuted. They entered that as evidence, and I think that was the Martin's attorney who took that. And he knew better. He should have had a stenographer write that and have it read to her. You know, that is so tainted. It's irrelevant. As a juror, I would say, man, that's really out there.
Yeah,
you know,
and my whole thing is you're not going to get six jurors, even 10 jurors. You're not going to get them all to agree on this. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, it's still early, right? The defense ain't even going to start calling their witness, so it's still early. So I think
week one is over.
Right.
And they're saying it's supposed to go 2 to 4 weeks. Right. I think this is going to go at least 3 to 4 weeks. I don't think I don't think we're going to get through this next week and it's just going to be done. And if it's a wrap after next week, then it's a wrap, period. He's off.
Yeah. You know, and what I was about to say is, you know, we're basing all judgment on what the prosecutors are showing us. So I think we need to, you know, wait and see what the defense going to throw up there to where we get a more objective view of what's really going on. Because I'm curious as to what kind of defense they're going to try and play. You know, is it going to be self-defense or, you know?
It's going to be self-defense. It's going to
be
self-defense.
Yeah,
because the fact of the matter that he actually pursued the assailant, It kind of negates the whole stand your ground. Stand your ground is predicated on a threat. And the defense knew right away, okay, it'd be a different situation if there was a standoff and Zimmerman was identifying himself. And this is a key element that we're not talking about. It's the fact that Zimmerman never identified himself. Okay, you're the watch person. Okay, you're following. Once I step up on you and I'm the watch person, and you turn around and ask me, what do you want? Oh, check this out, young brother. I'm the watch person for the neighborhood. We done had some burglaries. and I'm just trying to make sure that everything is okay.
Right.
You all right? Are we good? At that point, we're good. We good at that point. Now, when your response is, after he asks, what do you want? And then my response is, what are you doing here? Oh, we got a confrontation.
Yeah.
Because me, as the person who is going back home, what the hell are you talking about? What do you want? Well, what are you doing here? Okay, now I don't know you. You don't know me. You done took a posturing position. Now I got to take one. If I'm a man about mine, I got to take one. I'm already at home, and people are saying, well, he's 30 feet from his house. Why didn't he run to his house? No, he ran as far as he could go.
Right.
He's at the complex. How much further I'm going to run? Negro, what do you want? Why are you even talking to me?
Yep.
And see, that's where the whole thing gets real clouded. It's because Zimmerman, if you're the neighborhood watch person, okay, that's all fine and well. But all you have to do is say, hey, look, I watched the community. We've had some burglaries. I just want to make sure everything is all right. I didn't mean to startle you by, you know, getting out of my car and following you. I just want to make sure everything is all right. And at that point, I'm sure Trayvon's going to say, okay, well, I live right here. I'm going home. Okay, cool. I'm done. Here we go.
He could have even offered
Simple
him
as
a
that.
Ride now that you I look at it like that.
Simple as that.
Yeah. He could say, well, let me take you on home, get you out of the rain. You know, he could offer that too. Yeah.
Just tell me who you are. Any reasonable person.
But he started off confrontational.
Who's being followed. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Renee.
He started off confrontational. And when he started off confrontational, any young man that's being confronted in any situation is going to man up. I mean,
exactly.
He's just going to man up. Hey, I'm minding my business. You mind yours. And that's
right.
Just the way it is. And he came at him as an authority when he really wasn't. And he came at him with direction when he didn't have to because he wasn't doing anything. And he came at him with all of this posturing and all this, I'm a little man, but I'm going to be a little man, and you're going to do what I tell you to. And Trayvon wasn't having it. He wasn't having it.
Right.
I have boys. I know. All my boys are big. You roll up on my boys like that, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
I taught them how to handle themselves in a situation like that. But you roll up on them in the wrong way, and they're the most respectful young men that you would ever meet. But you come at them the wrong way, their manhood's going to come out. That's what
with any individual, Renee, and this is the thing I'm trying to get Joe to understand. He's talking about the confrontation and how the fight started. The fight starts because when I ask you why you're following me, and then you ask me what I'm doing here, oh, okay, you've been following me for the last 15 minutes. What's the problem? Well, what are you doing here? Okay, who are you? How did all of a sudden you become important in my life? You're not. Who are you? And see, that's where we're missing this whole thing, is that if George Zimmerman had just identified himself, look, I'm sorry, young brother. I do neighborhood watch. I didn't mean to startle you. I just saw you walk in. We've had some burglaries, so I'm just trying to make sure everything is okay. How easy is it to say something like that?
Very easy. Very. Well,
very easy.
Now that we think about
very
it.
Very
yeah.
easy. We already have established that he had some psychological problems because he could not even make the police test to pass it because he had some psychological issues. So we know that he has some issues. May they be black or white issues, we don't know. But we know that if he can't pass the test, the psychological evaluation, to become a police officer, then the problem lies with you. You already have a problem.
All right, Joe.
And see, my whole thing is, Renee, even if I'm neighborhood watch, and maybe this is just because of my background, even if I'm neighborhood watch, I'm not running up on you, especially at my age, 52, and I can see you 17, 18. No. I'm not running up on you. And if I call 911 and it's like, all right, well, we're on the way. Don't even worry about it. I'm cool. I'm going on about my business. I'm done. I've done my job because
Thank
the call
you.
Has been recorded. It's been reported. So whatever happens after that, I'm going to make sure that I'm not even involved. I did my job as the neighborhood watch person. I watched and I reported. So let's flip the script. Let's say that the same thing happened, but the police shoot him, and they call me on the stand. Hey, I did what I do as a neighborhood watch person. I called 911. Y'all got the tape. They told me to leave it alone. I left it alone. I drove away. I'm good either way.
I agree. Because the most important thing in the whole situation is that you have to cover your own assets. And he did not do that. He did not protect himself from anything. He didn't cover his assets. Look, the first thing is this. You cover yourself. You are not a police officer. You are just a neighborhood watchman, okay? You don't know who this person is, but you're going to confront him anyway. You cover yourself first. The police told you to back off, back off. The police told you to back off. You should have backed off. You are not in any kind of authority. You ain't a deputy, man.
You ain't even deputized.
Please. You're nothing. You're nothing. You are just a man that has a house in an area, and you are watching your home. You can do a citizen's arrest, and that is it. That is it. So you pack some heat. And a little man with a big gun. Okay, what's the problem? The problem is now you're on trial for murder, and, you know, that's a stigma. You cannot move back to Florida and live there comfortably the rest of your life. You think those people down there are going to let you be comfortable? Please, no matter where you go, they're going to want to know why you moved here, what your purpose is here.
Right.
Your name is Sartre. You have to change your name and find some places to live because, you know, you're always going to have that stigma behind you, always. You are. You just are.
Wow. That is true. That is true. Oh, man, I tell you, y'all done put a lot on the table today. You know what, though? And here's one more. What took the police so long? If he called them, they said they had someone. What took them so long? Did they figure out, okay, that's nobody but George calling again? All right.
Yeah, that's the whole thing, Mr. Talk. He calls in all the damn time.
Yeah.
And I make a joke out of it, and it's really not funny. And it's really not funny, but I make a joke out of it. It's like I can see the 911 operators, and they see the number pop up, and they're like, damn, here's George again. Who wants to take this call? I'm not taking this call. Here we
now
got the fool again.
Look at some of these calls that he called in for, you guys. He called because there were some kids playing in the street. He called because somebody left their garage door open. You know, these are things that happen in the neighborhood no matter where you live. Kids play in the street. But he thought they were playing too much in the street.
And you know what, Renee? And you know what, Renee? None of that information is admissible in the trial.
It's not. But these are the kinds of things that he would call for. Look, neighborhood watch does not mean that you're the policeman of the neighborhood. It just means you are looking out for things that may happen. And the kid was not doing anything. He was minding his business, talking to his girl on the phone, and walking home eating his, what, candy or something. You know, he wasn't doing anything that was suspicious besides walking with a hoodie on. It was raining. Okay, your point?
And you know what? Not to make light of the situation. If I was 911, and you know you go to work every day, as soon as I seen his number, I would have picked up and said, "What is it now, George?" I'm not even asking. I'm not even asking who's calling. What is it now, George?
Wait
now,
a second.
What do you think?
All those calls weren't to 911. They were to the liaison at the police department.
Oh, come on.
So,
you're splitting hairs, Kat. Come on. You're splitting hairs.
No, really.
This guy's got a record of calling 911 on a regular basis. Come on.
I'm not defending him. I'm not defending him, but let's just, you don't know what kind of agreement was between him and the, see, this is where.
Agreement?
What? This?
Oh, Lord.
What agreement?
Look,
he's
the lady
citizen.
Yeah, I got a question for you. First of all, how many times have you as a black person been stopped by the police?
All the time.
Okay. But, Kat, can you hear what I'm saying? Black people get stopped by the police for silly things. Silly, ridiculous things. And you have to know how to handle yourself around the police department or the police officers or whatever. And I'm not bashing the police department at all. But what I'm saying is, as a young black man in this world today, you have to know how to handle yourself with the police.
Yeah.
And you do, as a black person in general, get pulled over for frivolous little things.
That's true.
That you as a white woman would never get pulled over for.
That's real talk. And Renee, based on what you just said, when I was in Oakland, I had a Honda Civic, and I didn't do any traffic violations or nothing. Cop pulled me over, a brother, okay, took my license, ran my information, and my last name is CURNS, just like Burns, except with a C. Now, what was going on in Oakland at that time is that the agents were stealing the Japanese cars, and they were sending them to Chop Chops.
Mm-hmm.
You know what this brother told me? When I ran your name, and he's looking at me, when I ran your name, I thought you were Asian.
Wow.
This Negro is looking me in the face and told me the reason he stopped me was because your last name is Kearns. I thought you might have been Asian, and we got this ring of Asians who I knew who they were. Mm-hmm. I knew who they were, who were stealing cars and chopping them up and selling the parts. He was like, oh, well, I'm sorry. I thought you were Asian because we've been having this problem with Japanese cars being stolen and being chopped up.
Well, you sound Asian,
on the market.
Knowledge.
No,
oh,
I mean,
stop
I,
it,
I,
Joe.
I just
Joe, Joe, stop it.
Macaroni
Joe. But it just goes back. That just goes back to what you were saying, Renee, in the sense that as black people, we get stopped for the most absurd reasons. Just completely absurd.
But what do you do to do it? What do you guys do to do that?
You don't have to do anything.
You don't have to do anything, Joe.
I am teasing.
Okay, you really don't have to do anything.
Renee, let me repeat myself for you.
All right, Joe.
Just to piggyback on what Renee is saying is that, and this was in reference to Kat, we fall victim to this so often. It is nauseating. It's nauseating because you get stopped and it's just like, once they find out you're clean, then they have to come up with some excuse as to why they stopped you.
Mm-hmm.
But they're hoping they caught you. They're hoping they caught you.
Exactly. And like Renee is saying, especially as a black man, you have to be cognizant enough to not get incensed, no matter how incensed it makes you. You have no idea how I wanted to get out the car and just clock that Negro talking to me about, oh, your last name sounds Chinese. Dude, it's not Wong. It's not Chin. It's not Schetzwan. My last name is Kearns. What are you talking about? Now, I know the history of my last name. My last name is Scottish. Well, okay. Evidently, you haven't been educated. But see, I can't even bring that discussion up. Because as soon as I bring that up, now he got to press charges on me. Oh, you want to get smart, young black man? Oh, you think you educate? See, then you get into a whole bunch of other stuff. So I totally agree with what Renee is saying. I have taught my boys,
maintain your cool. Always maintain
your cool.
You never let them see you sweat, ever.
Yeah, 'cause they will try and push them buttons, that's for sure.
You know,
oh,
they'll get you. There are some dirty white people in this world. Mm-mm.
And Joe don't know nothing about that because he's up there with them sheep in Montana. And who knows what the hell he's doing with them.
They stop me.
They might be riding around in police cars rounding people up.
Well, you know what it is. Most of the time cops stop people for going too fast. They stop me and my sheep for going too slow.
Okay.
Oh, Lord.
I had a good one, but I'm not even going there.
No, go there.
No, you say you're going too slow, Joe. You not trying to push him from behind, are you?
Well, uh-oh. That's the problem, you know. They give me a ticket for not setting off the speed limit. The red light doesn't go off when I go through the inspection. They say, damn it, you've been there for a half an hour. Move.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Out of line.
Right. Oh,
did
wow.
Did Kat get off the line?
Yeah, her call dropped.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah, she's good. Oh, yeah, it happens.
In regards to what we're talking about, I think, and this is in regards to what Joe was saying and alluding to, I think next week, the heat going to get turned up next week. I think this week was just like the preliminary stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think next week it's going to catch fire.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think so.
I think it's gonna catch fire next week.
I do too.
I wish they would.
The gloves are gonna come off, and now, like Joe was saying, now the defense and the prosecution are gonna start doing battle. Because right now they were just kind of testing it out and, you know, just trying to get a feel for everybody. Now next week we're gonna see them start calling people back. And the young lady, Trayvon's girlfriend, she's going to be back on the stand to the prosecution.
She's got to get her attitude together. She has to get her attitude together.
But I'm telling you, Renee, they going to call her back because they're going to try to break her down even more than they did. Everybody thought it was bad the last couple of days. Calling her back.
But you know what, Renee?
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I think her attitude is what keeps her afloat. You know what I mean? Because a couple of times, now you have to admit, the attitude came out, and he backed up a little bit. You know, because he wasn't used to that. He backed up a little bit.
And like he said, what is this, a cultural thing? Is this how your people talk? I mean, is this how people talk? Did he really say that? He caught himself.
Well, that might have been a part of strategy. I didn't hear it. First time I'm hearing this, but that might have been a part of strategy.
Joe, you sound like a damn lawyer. You really, really,
I really do. I like the law, but I have to say, all of us, we really don't know that much about the law except for what we see on TV, and who knows what we see on TV is really factual.
Right.
Right.
You know what the funny thing about them? So some of it is, but, you know, they add their little Hollywood touch to it. You know, so you're right, Joe. You don't know what is true and what's not.
Yeah.
Unless you see the behind.
I'd like to ask Mr. Talk a question because I know that he mediates the show and he tries to toe the line and try to stay middle of the road.
No.
However, However, Mr. Talk, I've been on your show enough.
Right.
I get a lot of love on your show.
Uh-huh.
So now I'm about to segue into being family. So now
okay.
we can just now we can dish some dirt.
Oh, okay, good. Are you family now?
yeah. Well, I
yeah,
I said
that. Crew, Joe. He's part of
well,
the crew.
Well, no, if he's family, then we can treat him like family.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's part of the
yes,
crew,
you
man.
Can, Joe. You can
okay.
say anything you want to me, Joe.
Good.
Okay.
We
all good.
I want to welcome you, you
fucking
master.
Here we go.
Into the family. Now.
Okay. Right. Wait a minute. Wait,
let me say this to Mr. Talk. Let me say this
yeah,
to Mr.
Please.
Talk.
Right.
I want to know where you stand and where you see this going, and if you see that in reference to where you see it going, if you feel that it's right or wrong.
You talking about the trial?
I'm talking about you in reference
he
to
does,
the trial.
Yeah, that's a good question there, Knowledge, for the whole thing. See, Eric's stance is that he always remains neutral. See, you don't know how he is on other shows.
Joe,
like
I didn't
show.
Ask you the question, Joe. Why are you answering for him?
Yeah, wait,
are you
okay,
legal?
You
are you legal counsel?
Where
are you legal counsel?
Okay.
Because if I gotta play defense attorney, I will bury you.
Oh God! You and
here
me
we go.
On the
all
different
right,
different sides of the aisle. That would be fun.
Look, yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah.
Okay,
for about five
so
minutes until he gave
clarify
up.
Clarify that.
Yeah.
Clarify that. What exactly?
Okay,
are you,
here's what I want to clarify. I love what you do. I love the fact that you give people a voice and you give them a forum,
mm-hmm.
and you try to stay neutral. This is Freedom Friday.
He doesn't
right.
try to stay neutral.
Okay.
This guy always
now,
stays neutral.
Now, wait a minute, Joe, to coin his phrase. It's Freedom Friday. Now,
mm-hmm.
you free right now to
mm-hmm.
choose your side, even if you don't want to choose a side, to say how you think.
Yeah, let's go, Eric.
This is going to transpire, what your position is.
Wait till you hear this answer.
How you feel about
no.
it. The whole time.
Wait
the whole
till you
thing.
Hear this answer. Go ahead, Eric.
Well, shut up, Joe.
Uh-huh.
Look, it's simple. I think Zimmerman is guilty. I think he's going to be convicted because I think the biggest thing is on this one. I do believe is that he got out of the vehicle and he followed this guy. You know, and that to me, being a black man as I am, I know after I ran so far, I'm just going to stop and what do you want? You know, and as we mentioned before, Zimmerman would say, what you doing here? Okay. Now, to me, that's a confrontation. You asking to get your behind beat because I didn't ask you. I'm tired of running. So my position is he did it, he's guilty, and they're going to convict him. That's
okay.
what I
wow.
think.
Wow.
There it is.
Well, yeah,
huh?
This is the first time Eric's ever made any type of stance whatsoever until
yeah,
he got on another show,
all
and all of a sudden he's full of opinion.
Look, I have to give y'all a chance to voice your opinion. Y'all want to hear me voice my opinion all the time because I have theories. I don't have opinions. I have theories, and they
oh,
long
really?
Fast.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I do.
Oh,
and sometimes I do let you know. You just don't listen long enough because you
yeah.
be playing with your
oh,
shit.
It's my fault. I know.
Oh, Lord.
And let me share something with you, Mr. Talk.
Yes.
Being a math major in college,
mm-hmm.
Theories are no good if you can't apply them.
No, very good, very good. Oh, I apply them every day on the show, believe it or not.
So application is the necessity of a theory. Anybody can come up with a theory. But if you can't substantiate your theory with actual application, meaning that
okay.
you can come up with certain
yep.
undeniable proofs,
solutions, Junior,
correlation, the whole thing. And I'm not disputing anything that you said.
Right.
That's not what I'm doing. But I just wanted to take this opportunity because I'm feeling well. It's Friday. I am completely beat down with the Supreme Court, Trayvon Martin. Yeah. Man, I'm so tired. All I want to do is drink wine all weekend and eat good food, because I'm telling you, this is a and this is a whole nother show. America,
okay.
America
I
is
want to
circling,
say
is
yeah.
circling the drain.
Uh-huh.
America is circling the drain. We are just going
Dude.
Down the right. toilet because we have let too much stuff go on too long. Without being
you think they share DNA?
Involved.
What?
I was talking to Eric.
Huh?
Eric, you think they share DNA?
Oh, I heard what y'all said.
Look, some roundabout way, I think so.
You're saying it's possible.
Yeah. I think so.
It's possible.
And I just think as a general public, and what's really unfortunate about this trial is that this trial is an opportunity for our country to come together.
Mm.
However, the way the trial is being portrayed, it continues to perpetuate how we feel different about each other. And America is very unique in the sense that we try to claim liberty, the pursuit of happiness, the Constitution.
I feel a filibuster
and
coming
on. All this stuff. And at the same time that we claim all of that, we disenfranchise each other.
Well, you know what?
And the powers that be understand this because they put this out there. They're like, okay, where are you?
You know that?
Right.
All right.
Knowledge, you know what? I do believe you, but I think as far as this trial making America come together, that was lost when they took so long to arrest him. I really do believe that. Now, if they would have arrested him right away, I don't think it would have been the big hoo-bra it is now, but I think that fed into, you know, the division that this country is all about. And as far as the country, this trial here is not going to do it. If anything, it'll divide us a little bit more than what we already are.
That's exactly what it's doing.
It shows the division. It actually shows the division. It's a double standard.
Yeah, that's what it's doing.
That's
it's
what
showing. And that's the whole point of what I'm saying, is that the
even
trial
the,
is being
even the
used,
vocal intonations are about the same.
The trial is being showed to use the division that persists in the general public.
I bet you can put them side by side.
Out of line.
Not by
Okay. All right.
That's out of line. Yeah.
Yes, it is. That's out of line. All
What's
right.
out of line? No.
What you talking about, Joe?
Oh, come on. You brought it up.
Oh, okay.
What the hell is Joe talking about now?
We're not going there today.
You remind us of someone used to be on the show. That's all.
You know what? You know what? And I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm gonna be honest with you.
Uh-huh.
I've been nice to Joe. I've only been on your show. I've only been on your show, Mr. Talk, for about 2 weeks.
Right.
I've been nice to Joe, and he's about to wear that shit out. Because
here we go.
Here we go, Joe.
You're right,
okay,
Eric.
I'm going to say this. I love Joe because Joe is one of the few white people, and I don't mean this in disrespect to other white people. Joe is one of the few white people who looks at things the way they are, not the way I want it to be, not the way I think it should be. He looks at things the way that they are, and I completely respect that. But then Joe brings in the comedic element, and that's where I'm gonna come get his ass at. That's gonna be for a later show.
Right.
We're not gonna do that today.
It is a light version. Oh my god.
But I'm gonna get Joe.
Look, I'm just gonna give you one line. I really like Joe. I really do.
I do too. Joe was the fucking bomb. Didn't I nickname Joe Macaroni
hey,
Joe?
Yes, you did.
I'm not going to say that because my jury is still out on you. I'm sorry.
I nicknamed Joe Macaroni Joe, and I did that for a reason. Because I would love to take Joe into deep East Oakland, Sobrani Park, Brookfield, Dag.
You never stop.
Yeah, Renee. Yeah, I would love to do that. I would love to do that.
As soon as he got out the car, they still his sneakers.
I got connections there. So as long as he's with me, he's all right. As long as he don't say no stupid shit.
We good.
But the moment he says some stupid shit, I'm slipping around the corner.
Eric, do you think he's followed the advice of the former guest and had an evacuation today?
Say that again.
Do you think he's taken the advice?
Inton, you're not going to get this one. This is going to be it's code.
Yeah. You remember how the other one always said, well, he has to talk to a person, and I forget the first two. Then he said the third requirement when he's talking to somebody is that he's had to have an evacuation that day.
Forget all of that.
You heard what I just said. I'm taking you to Sobrani Park, Brookfield, Dag. You ain't got to intellectualize nothing. It's right there on the street. We handle it the way it is, and we dealt with it.
Wait a minute, he was from California too, though, wasn't he?
Who?
Mr. Solution.
The other guy? Wow.
Yeah. He was from California too. He's in L.A. So interesting.
I'm from L.A.
I don't fuck with niggas from L.A. Don't like them.
I'm from L.A. too.
Don't like them. Don't like them.
Okay.
They just like to ride by and shoot people.
You know what I'm going to do?
I'm not going to
go back to one of my shows and get a clip, and I'm going to play it. and knowledge, I'm telling you, you're going to be like, huh?
Okay. No, I'm not tripping. You're going to say I'm like Goofy all over again.
No, I'm not that.
I'm like Goofy. I'm from the Yay area. And see, we don't raise a flag with colors. We don't do that. We set trip, meaning that if you're in the wrong neighborhood at the wrong time, you get questioned and you get dealt with. We don't look for what color you're wearing. Now, when I went to L.A., I'm going to tell you something. I was with my partner in L.A., and we were in a mall. And this brother told us we were shopping for clothes. And my homeboy had red on. And he said, man, you dripping all over the place. And we looked at each other because we didn't understand what he was talking about. And then we figured it out. He was like, oh, you dripping all over the place. And we was like, we looked at each other like, oh, bet. Let's leave the store. Mm. See, that's Bay Area stuff. You get up out of there. Because this is not your set. This is not how you get down. Now, in the Bay Area, we get down totally different. If you're in the wrong neighborhood, just like in New York, if you go to Bed-Stuy, if you go to Brooklyn, if you go to Long Island, which they call Strong Island, any of those boroughs, you get handled.
Knowledge.
If you're in the wrong neighborhood, it ain't about the color you wear.
Yeah, you got to get that clip, Eric, because I'm sure you got to put that voice tape.
We're getting close to shutdown time. I'm 48 minutes
okay.
over.
Okay, I'm done. So, I'm done. You got me in a good mood. You got me in a good mood, Mr. Talk. It's Friday. The white Zinfandel is flowing, so I'm feeling
That's
good.
That's what it was.
I'm feeling good.
Last word.
All right. Well, you have a good weekend, Knowledge, and We'll see you Monday.
I will do that, sir.
All righty. Thank you. Have a good one. All right, Joe. Your last words, Joe.
Well, nothing. Just have a good weekend, everybody. Shall see you when I see you probably Monday. So everybody have a good weekend. I haven't had a chance to have any real back and forth with Renee this week, but maybe next week.
Yeah, maybe next maybe. Week. Mm-hmm. All right. Have a good one, Joe.
You too.
Hey. Okay, Renee. Last but not least.
I just want a good show, awesome show. A little long-winded to some people, but it's an awesome show. And just keep doing what you're doing, doing a good job, and thank you for having me on. Have a great weekend. See you on Monday.
All right. Okay, you too. And thank you, and you have a great weekend. All right, y'all, that's the conclusion of another Freedom Friday. And I'm telling you, you know what? I'm going to tell you, that's the first time on a Freedom Friday anybody has ever put me on the spot. But I can handle my own. So it didn't bother me. I just want to let y'all know that. All right. Well, you know what? It's Friday. Just enjoy your weekend. That's going to be my final words. Go out and enjoy your weekend. You know, I know some places are supposed to be quite warm. Because where I am right now, this is 102, and that is supposed to get hotter than that over the weekend. But you know what? It's all good, all gravy. All right, just remember to keep smiling. Don't forget about Soapbox Monday. Well, let me stop. Don't forget about Soapbox Monday on Monday. You know, it's another show where the callers control the topic. I just start off and no telling where we end up. But, hey, give you something to think about over the weekend. You know what I mean? If you leave a comment, just go to ericletstalk@gmail.com or stop by my Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. Either way, hey, I'll be looking for you. All right? Just remember to keep smiling. Show appreciation, not because you're looking for appreciation, just because you really genuinely mean it. And don't forget to forgive with open heart. Make sure you forgive yourself first. If you haven't forgiven yourself, then there's no way you can forgive anyone else. All right? Until Monday, y'all, 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, and 12 Pacific, we're going to go out of here with the song of the day to make you bop a little bit. Here it is, KC and the Sunshine Band, Boogie Shoes. I'm out of here.